much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Shut up and listen! Jesus Murphy! Do you people hear my voice?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Song named after a girl. There aren't a million of those already.
Name 20.
Rosanna, Roxanne, Michelle, Allison, Sarah, Angie, Brandy, Mandy, Gloria, Cecilia, Maggie Mae, Jessica, Nancy, Barbara Ann, Billie Jean, Layla, Lola, Polly, Helena, Jenny from the Block.
Name 6 more.
Sherry, Laura, Wendy, Maria, Peggy Sue, Minnie the Moocher.
Name 5 more.
Tracy, Jean, Jane, Mary Ann, Eleanor Rigby.
Go f*** yourself.
And now...
Haven't you got anything better to do than harass the elderly?
Our feature presentation.
Absolutely not.
That is job number one.
I knew you'd like that. Hey, party people, welcome on in. It's another Kevin and Bean show.
Yay!
Wednesday morning.
It is Wednesday morning. Big day. Kevin, you gonna be all right?
I don't know.
You thinking about anything else but tonight?
No.
Staples Center?
I couldn't sleep last night.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't sleep normally, but this particular reason is just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Things
right.
are too good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little worried. Got to be honest.
Sound like you've already been drinking a little bit.
No,
did you start
I'm
the party
dumb.
Early?
I'm sorry. I'm chewing gum.
Sorry about that. Well, a quick reminder. Kevin did predict a long time ago, very early in the playoffs, that the Kings would not only win the Stanley Cup, they would sweep. So he is on the precipice of the greatest prediction in sports history for a team that's never won it before, to go out on a limb and say that.
If it happens, I sure did.
You sure did. You absolutely did. Here's an interesting story to get us going. If you have sexy time mm-hmm. with somebody, and he or she gives you an STD,
right.
what's the legal ramifications of that? What's the legal recourse there? Is that something that you go, well, I'm dating, and I should have been more careful, and it's on me? Or do you go, you bastard, I'm going to sue you and take you to court?
Generally,
you don't sue. Yeah, but I wouldn't mm-hmm. think it would do any good. I don't think you could.
Well, if they know it and they don't inform you of it, I do think they might be breaking a law.
But is that true of, like, the flu? You know what I mean? Or is it just a permanent thing?
I don't think it is true of the flu. For one thing, there would be outward signs that you had the flu.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, B.
Well, I bring this up because a case has happened this week, and it was it went to court in Oregon. This is a 49-year-old woman from Beaverton.
Sure.
I think she's to blame just for that. She met the defendant, a 69-year-old retired dentist, on an internet dating website. The two went on 3 dates together, and then on the 4th date, they had sex, like you do.
Right.
11 days later, the plaintiff had a herpes outbreak. Oh. It was revealed in court. During testimony in the case, the woman said she had asked the defendant to wear a condom. She said he agreed, but removed it without her knowledge before they were finished. Allegedly, he told her he had herpes afterwards. Now, I'm surprised that he would tell her afterwards that night, by the way.
Why would you say anything about it?
Yeah, that's not pillow talk. I mean, I would think you would think, well, I hope she doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
As he's walking out the door, he's like, bye-bye. All right. See you later. I have herpes.
Maybe he just wanted to make sure that she didn't call him for another date. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was his way of saying, okay, I got this one done. Now I'm moving on to the next one, right? The plaintiff said she has experienced repeated outbreaks and has suffered depression as a result. The defendant testified he did not know he was contagious. The man's attorney also argued, of course, slut defense, right, that the plaintiff may have contracted the infection from somebody else. So they weren't even willing to admit that their client gave this woman herpes, right? So anyway, it went to court. It went to a jury. 4 days of testimony, 2 hours of deliberation. I would like your predictions, please, on the verdict.
I would have to say, I don't know. Wow, that's a tough one.
I'm
tough
one, right? I'm going to say no.
On one hand.
She did not win.
On one hand, he should have told her, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But.
On the other hand, she's 49 years old and she pretty much knows how these things work.
But he took his condom off in the middle.
Yes, that's right. And by the way, shouldn't she have been aware of that?
He told her that.
I don't know.
Did he say that to her?
Did he say what?
That he took it off. I mean, he didn't tell her, right?
That's her testimony that he agreed, but removed. He agreed to wear one, but then removed it without her knowledge before they were done.
Guilty.
So, Lisa, you don't think she won?
I don't.
How about you, Kevin?
I don't think so either.
Muggs?
No.
Not only did she win, the jury awarded her $900,000.
What?
I do not disagree with that, but I just don't think in these days people win those kinds of things very often. But good.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jury members.
Now she's got to tell every guy.
Yep.
Yeah, the same thing will happen.
Yeah.
Jury member says we all felt he should have told her ahead of time. He had the responsibility to tell her. So that's how they arrived at their verdict. And I don't know where they came up with that amount, but $900,000.
Because she'll never get another man. Now, that's not true.
Hang on. Hang on. Let me make a note. I have a lot of calls to make. Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
Okay. No problem. On the program today, we have the Briggs coming in. They're going to be performing their song, This Is L.A., which they've been doing for the Los Angeles Kings for, I don't know if it's been more than a year. I know it was all year, but it may have been even last year.
Big break for them. I mean, this is doing for their song what the Broham, you know, what was the Anaheim Ducks did for Broham, you know, just by playing it every night in an arena.
We also have Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckin Meyer.
Yes.
Oh, they're so good.
They're coming in the studio. They are Franklin and Bash. That is a
great guys.
Funny show. They're great guys, yeah. What did you get for sex? That's our calling
herpes.
Topic today. No, I don't mean the negative things. I mean the positive things.
Oh.
Like you're not in that business. But somebody made you an offer.
If someone wants to be generous.
Yes.
Yes.
How generous did they become? What was the offer?
Well, I do know a certain traffic reporter who keeps her job every year. I know that.
Because of the great way that we...
Yeah, of course.
You.
Well,
Lisa can't think it or say it.
No, I think she's saying I have to sleep with people the same way she does to have my job.
Right.
We also have Kings tickets, for God's sakes.
What?
Yeah! That's ridiculous.
Tonight, game 4, Stanley Cup Finals, and the Kings are up 3-0. So, you know, if things go well tonight... They could win the cup tonight.
What were you guys
looking around online yesterday. What's the going rate for a pair of tickets to tonight's game?
I don't know. I saw yesterday that it was about $1,200 for you know, the crappy seats.
Dude.
So,
that was quite a prize.
I might sell my seats. I could get some money.
Seriously, it is on TV.
Yeah, that'll never happen. But anyway, we're going to give away a pair of tickets today. We have a game for you, and we'll let you qualify, and we'll give you a pair of tickets for tonight's game, which is crazy because even if you had money, sometimes it's hard to get the availability or whatever.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's coming up today as well, plus comedian Brad Williams will be on the program again. You know, love him.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Am I on now?
Yep.
Hey, Ralph Garman, good morning.
Oh, well, it's Brad Williams on the show today.
You sound drunk?
Yes, a little
you
bit.
You do sound drunk today, which is weird because you're not.
And Brad's not on the show today, which made you seem even more drunk.
Oh, Chip told me everything was just like it was yesterday.
And it was, but different.
How's tomorrow going to be if this is today, Ralph?
Just take the day. Why don't you take the day? Hey. Either way, take the day.
No, it's too fun.
It is too fun. We don't want to miss out on the fun.
You don't have to ask me twice.
It's not fun, really.
We could have gold for the rest of the year.
This makes me weep.
Oh,
this makes me a little weepy.
All right. I mean, if you insist, if I don't have any option that's other than, you know, stay at home.
You have options.
No, you just said I should take the day off, so all
I
right.
did, but who am I? What am I? General
I'm
operations
with
manager?
I'm with Lisa. I think there's too much fun to be had by you coming in and seeing you survive the morning.
Right,
you're
I'm
not
going to
have gotten any sleep.
I'm outvoted. You don't have option.
I don't have any option.
How are you not going to want to fly to New Jersey in the unlikely event, Kevin, that you're wrong and they don't, you know, clinch tonight? How are you not going to want to fly out and see it in person in New Jersey, though?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
It's a good question. Right.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin Abicho Show. What's going on?
Hey, Fetty. You want to lose that weight? Fetty?
Fetty, fatty, yes.
To somebody in particular?
Just Fetties. Right. Hey, Fetties.
Is this the Biggest Loser story or what's
it
going
is
on?
The Biggest Loser, Bean. Once again, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly before I had a chance to get them out of my own mouth. The Biggest Loser is now casting for season 14.
Wow, 14.
You know, I watched the first few, then I stopped, and then I watched the last season again, and I loved it.
It's magical, isn't it, Lisa?
It is.
It's life-changing.
It's amazing.
It's life-changing.
Fat people.
Oh, come on.
What's the difference between being addicted to heroin and addicted to ranch? Put the ranch down, fat ass.
Oh, come on.
That's a good point.
You get to go to Biggest Loser Island, and
it's
they whip you and hit you with cattle prods and stuff, and they make you do stuff till you vomit. It's awesome.
Wow, I haven't seen that show in a while.
If you have at least 85 pounds to lose, and who doesn't, really, we strongly encourage you to apply. It is Saturday, June the 16th, so not this coming Saturday, but the next, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice, California. That's 2232 Lincoln Boulevard if you're interested. You can go to The Biggest Loser Casting, thebiggestlosercasting.com for more details and to get your application. But they're looking for big old fat people for season 14. So.
Do you think they have a screener at the door and they just go,
oh, nope, no, you're way too svelte for us.
Not fat enough.
You're only 400 pounds.
Keep
Move along. So anybody who wants to be on The Biggest Loser, There's your opportunity.
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
You know, we kid, but we had a beautiful young lady working here at K-Rock who was overweight, and she went on that show. And not only did she lose weight, and now she looks great, but she met a husband there. So,
how about that?
Stuff happens there on Biggest Loser Island. In fact, I think there are more marriages from The Biggest Loser than there are from The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
I don't doubt that.
That is
correct.
True.
I think
that's
that is true.
So, look, if you want to find love and you're fat, look, these are opportunities that I provide for you.
Big butt.
Sad celebrity sick bay news.
Should I hang on to that or get rid of it?
Big butt.
I love it.
Helpful? Okay. I've stopped listening.
All right.
Sheryl Crow has a brain tumor.
Oh.
No.
Upside, if there is such a thing, is that it's benign, but it has affected her memory.
Oh, that sucks.
Recently during an interview, someone, the reporter, was discussing a lyrical flub during the song Soak Up the Sun, one of her hits. She was on stage and she just blew the lyrics. And she told the audience, hey, I'm 50. What can I say? My brain's gone to isht. But the truth is, she has a brain tumor that is causing her memory to fail her.
Will they try to operate on it?
Yes, they will, yeah. She said, I worried about my memory so much that I went and got an MRI, and I found out I have a brain tumor.
Maybe that's my problem.
That would explain a lot. It's called a meningioma, and she said it is benign. I don't have to worry about it, but it gives me a fit, she says, so...
Kevin has the terrible short term, and I have the terrible long term. So maybe we both got brain tumors.
Oh, don't tease me. And Gwyneth Paltrow's in trouble. She tweeted pictures of herself on stage with Jay-Z and Kanye West.
She should
That's
know
the name
better.
Of a song.
It is the name of a song, and that was her defense.
The name of the
Hold
song.
Hold up. Yeah. She responded when the rest of the world said, hey, white girl, you really can't tweet like that.
Yeah.
Hold up, she said. It's the title of the song.
It is the title of the song.
To which the rest of the world said, hold up, you are the whitest person in the world.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to use that word. Sorry.
I'm with Gwyneth on this one, by the way.
I am too. I hate stories like this. But she also should have seen it coming, you know? It's not like you can get away with it, even though it makes perfect sense. It is the name of a song that they did.
But she lives in our world, right? She lives in the world that we all live in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah. She lives in such a rarefied atmosphere, she doesn't even know how the world works.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a guarantee.
Well, then she deserves all the crap she gets, and I hope she gets hit with a bottle.
Really? A bottle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I'm being nice. I could have said brick.
That's true.
I'm car. On her side. Yeah. Car, I could have said safe.
Sure.
And while we're talking about abuse, Mel Gibson's father, Hutton Gibson, the 93-year-old anti-Semitic bastard.
Yes.
He is... getting divorced for a very unpleasant reason. He believes his wife, Teddy, wants him dead. He is reporting that his current wife is urging him to stop taking his medication, even though he's extremely sick. It's an idea that his children, as you can imagine, aren't too happy about. Mel believes that Teddy is guilty of elder abuse and wants her out of his father's house. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
I don't care.
Yes, you do, Mel. It's your dad.
I
care.
It's your racist, anti-Semitic, Nazi dad.
Yeah.
You want to see him stick around for a while, don't you? Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger, 65 years old today. Actress, comedian Sandra Bernhardt celebrates her 57th. Colin Quinn is 53. Oh, I wish Jay Moore was here. Colin Quinn is 53. Guitarist Steve Vai is 52. Paul Giamatti. How great is Paul Giamatti?
The best.
Great, he's a great actor. 45 years old today. Uncle Cracker celebrates his 38th birthday.
Hey, way to go, Gwyneth.
Way to go, Gwyneth.
I'm going to need a diagram.
Hold on. Let's try and...
Think we can work it out together?
Way to go, Gwyneth.
Give me the whiteboard, will you? One of those markers?
Uncle Cracker.
I'm going to do like House.
Way to go, Gwyneth. Up. I'm out.
Because now that you've done the N-word tweet, now you're calling guys cracker. I'm just saying, you can't just use language like that willy-nilly.
But I'm a white guy. I can call another white guy a cracker.
Oh, is that the policy? Is that how it works?
What you can't say is willy-nilly. That's right, Lisa. Because that's old-timey from the 1800s.
That is indefensible.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now. Your tickets to be at Staples Center tonight for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. You might see the Los Angeles Kings skate the cup. That may happen. We'll tell you how you can win coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how in a million years did Clint Eastwood agree to be married to, not forget being on the reality show, married to a woman who's doing a reality television show? Doesn't he seem way better than that?
Well, she wasn't doing it when they got married.
Yes.
Right, but why can't he keep his woman in line, Lisa? Come on.
She's got the goods.
She's really young and hot and he wants to keep her.
She's got the goods, Bean, so he goes, okay, anything you want. I've watched the first, I think it was like a teaser episode of it, and it is, it makes the Kardashians look like it's a great show.
Really?
Oh. It's terrible because they're women of means and nothing really happens, but she's trying to pimp this band that she found, this boy band that she found in, I guess, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And so they flew out here and they're living with her. She's trying to get their career started and it is boring.
Well, the program is called Mrs. Eastwood and Company, good title, that is on the E! Channel, and it does feature Clint Eastwood along with his wife, Dina, I guess is her name, and their 15-year-old daughter, Morgan. And we wanted to find out more about this and also talk about this controversy about this handbag that they blew up. We're trying to make some sort of a statement about how much value we put on possessions, and we thought we'd get the great Clint Eastwood to join us for that part of the conversation. Hi, Clint, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Well, we're good. Question one, how did you ever agree to this?
I thought we were talking about the handbag.
We are. We're getting to the handbag.
We did the bit about the reality show already.
Just still can't get my head around it. That's all.
Oh, it's tough to do.
Sorry. I didn't realize it was so fresh in your mind yet, the problems that they're having. All right. So the handbag that she's claiming is worth the handbag that Francesca is claiming is worth $100,000 that she destroyed.
Yeah, what? Tell that story.
What's happening?
Who's Francesca, by
What's
the way?
Going
I don't
on?
Know. Who's Francesca?
Am I the only one who prepared for this?
Yes. I have.
You got to read the goddamn story on the air, and then I come in and do jokes as Clint Eastwood.
Would you mind reading the story on the air first
Wait,
and then
hold
doing
on a
jokes?
Second. Is it your wife's name, Dina? Who's Francesca?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I'm very curious.
Hey, Omar. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
You know what? This one's for me.
All right. Go ahead. Why don't you tell us what we ought to know about the story then?
My daughter is named Francesca.
Thank
oh, she
you.
Is. Okay.
F you, Bean.
I was asking. I didn't know. All right. Go ahead.
She did a video that was supposed to talk about materialism and commercialism.
Right.
And she destroyed a bag made by Hermès. For $100,000 is what this bag went for.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
I'm really doing all the work.
Yes, you are. I'm going to go get a Coke if you don't mind. I'll be back.
People were very upset about that. And she was getting death threats.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They were very upset.
So there are people who thought it was just a big waste of a valuable
just like this bit. A waste of valuable time.
Come on now. We can turn this bus around. Let's
nope.
do it. Come on.
You got to ask yourself a question. Do you feel lucky?
Not really.
Well, do you, punk?
Not much. Not much, no.
Didn't think so.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Make my day.
So what do you think about this? Does this seem like just a stupid stunt or what? I mean, what's your reaction to burning the bag? Not the bit. I'm talking about burning the bag.
Oh, I see. What people don't realize is she was getting revenge on that bag.
Oh.
That bag walked into that western town and killed 20 people.
I don't think a bag can do that.
That bag tried to hang her. But when you hang a person, you better make sure they're dead.
Yeah.
So she came back and took revenge on that bag by cutting it in half and burning it. That bag will never bother anyone again.
That bag really is incapable of doing any
bag
of the stuff.
Bag with no name.
Hey, Clint, is that a 44 Magnum you're shooting there?
Nope. just the sound effect.
Okay. Of course it is.
It would have gone so much better with a little help.
Should we eject?
Oh, absolutely.
Ralph Garman's got the Showbiz Beat coming up here in minutes on the Kevin DeBean Show if he's still talking to us. Plus, your chance to win Los Angeles Kings tickets on the way within the next half hour or so. First, though, there are lots of ways that you can get in touch with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can go to the Kevin DeBean Facebook page. You can talk to us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is at Kevin and Bean. Of course, there's old school. You can always email us, and all of our email addresses are up at krock.com. You can also call the Kevin DeBean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. We are not unavailable.
I am uncomfortable with that many ways of people getting a hold of me.
It is frightening, perhaps. But let's take a look at some of the email that we've been getting in on some of the topics we've been discussing on recent shows. Remember we had odd collections that we were doing last week?
Oh, yeah.
People who collect strange things. Hey, Kevin DeBean, Jennifer writes in, I just heard the call-in topic about strange collections on the podcast. I wanted to tell you about my friend's boyfriend. She had just moved into his apartment and invited us over to check it out. When she was throwing us their bathroom, she asked if we wanted to see something really weird, and she pulled out a jar from the drawer.
Ugh.
Any ideas what might have been inside the jar? You guys want to guess?
Well, I don't like the fingernail clippings, but I don't think you'd read it if it was that one, because we already...
Inside the jar was her boyfriend's belly button lint.
Oh!
Okay. That he had been keeping for years.
No.
Why does someone do that?
She couldn't explain why he did it, but he claimed that it wasn't uncommon for guys. I never looked at him the same way again, Jen says.
I couldn't even do that. I don't find lint in my belly button.
I don't either. I'm not a producer of lint. I don't know what happens.
And it's funny, Kevin, that you should mention the finger and toenail clippings, because listen to this from Julie. I heard this morning's segment on the show regarding collections, and I agree that the toenail clipping collection is bizarre. I am at the podiatrist's office with my mom, who broke her foot, and there on the shelf in the exam room is what looks to be a display of things that have to do with podiatry, including a ceramic pot with a lid on it that has the word toenails on it. I mean, that's official. I asked the doctor what it was about, and he said in the old days, it was an old wives' tale, but it was considered bad luck to cut your finger and toenails. The only way to ward off that bad luck was to save them in some type of jar, or to bury them, or to burn them. And that's the story, says Julie.
Wow.
Who knew that there was some sort of historical background on that, and you're not just a freak show?
No, you're just a freak show, as is the story. It's all true. Zombie escape plans. I got this one. We were talking to Kat Corbett, who's going to come to the radio station. She thinks she'll be safe for a while. Everybody's got their plan. And shockingly, a lot of you are serious about it.
Yes, dead serious.
Which cracks us up because, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a zombie invasion, but who knows?
There's definitely going to be a zombie invasion.
Okay.
The people who prepared, Kevin, are the people who are going to be alive and recolonizing the world.
So everybody said, I'm going to go to Costco because they stockpile stuff. This one... comes from Alexis. I'm finding my nearest extreme couponer. They always have a huge stockpile. I'll be all set.
That is a great idea. They usually have like a basement that looks like a store.
Right, full of just crazy yeah. stuff that you could probably live on for years.
You could eat pasta for 100 years.
You could, yes.
Hey, look, we mocked those doomsday preppers on that TV show, but those people are in pretty good shape in the event of a zombie invasion, right?
That's true.
Yeah, in the event of that, they are. But as of now, they're idiots.
I've got two on this topic. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to the zombie apocalypse plans this morning, and you people have it all wrong. When the ish hits the fan, the living will be just as dangerous as the dead. We would need to evacuate as soon as possible. If you need to hit up Costco or Walmart, have fun dying, because once you're in there, there's no way out. I'm a student at Long Beach State, and I took a class that allows us to make maps based on data collected by the Forest Service, Caltrans, etc. For my final project, I selected the best place to recolonize after a zombie attack. I selected areas of open space in LA County near freshwater on land that can be used for agriculture and absolutely away from major cities and freeways. The final result is up near Castaic Lake. I'll see you on the other side, Ashley.
Wow, very happy with that plan.
You can graduate with that kind of work.
Yeah, didn't the instructor at some point go, I'm sorry, what?
Zombie. zombies.
But isn't that what they did on Walking Dead? Is they went outside the city and just found a place that they could defend the perimeter.
But what the difference here being is that that's a TV show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. I was listening to the podcast. I heard the segment about zombie plans. The callers and even Cat Corbett had some good ideas, but I think I have the best idea how to decide, to survive. A zombie attack just happened. Where am I going? I'm going to Disneyland. Now, hear me out. I'm a cast member that works there, so I know the ins and outs of Disneyland, and that would be the perfect place to survive the zombie apocalypse. The entire perimeter of the park can be locked up by 10-foot-tall gates. There are cameras everywhere, so I have eyes in the skies. The park can run itself off its own power generators. It has its own fire, police, and paramedic department with resources that can be utilized easily in emergencies. There's an overabundance of food, snacks, water, and, of course, churros. Not to mention the souvenir shop holds a lot of assorted shirts, pants, jackets, hats, other clothing items. The key point and the best place to hide and keep us safe is Tom Sawyer's Island, since it is literally an island with water around it. We use the rafts to transport guests to and from. It will be the only way on and off the island. And the final bullet point is, if you get bored, you power up the attractions and have fun. Disneyland, definitely the best place to take refuge during an attack. I listen to the podcast every day. Love the show. Thanks, Jeff. Great idea, Jeff.
It a lot of work went into that one. We were talking yesterday about giving gifts to charity instead of to somebody on their birthday, and especially for kids, a three-year-old.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and it doesn't surprise me, but it should. I work for a very wealthy celebrity who sends out cards saying that she gives to charity in her friends' names every year. So she's been doing this for years for all of her friends. I sent money to charity in celebration of your birthday. Happy birthday. Never once was a check written.
And this is a wealthy
not one
celebrity.
Time.
Mary, does she say who?
Mary
say
effing who? Christmas. No,
does she say
does
who the celebrity
not.
Is?
She's not stupid, no.
Whoa.
I
mean,
I guess. I wish I knew, but no.
I guess how would somebody know unless you requested a receipt, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. And you wouldn't request a receipt because it wasn't really your money.
Right.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny?
And finally, the internet roundup video that we had this week of the 80, what was she, 81 or something like that? And she was jumping out of an airplane and the harness fell off. The instructor, the tandem diver with her, had to literally hold on to her the whole way down so she didn't die. Trevor writes in, I was listening to the podcast again, and thank you to all the podcast listeners, by the way. I heard you talking about the old lady who jumped out of the airplane out of her harness. I thought I'd let you know that I recognized the place in the video. I won't mention the name of it here, but it's just south of Sacramento. I have jumped there three times. It's extremely low rent. The liability release forms are from Florida. They tell you to not bother reading them because it'll hurt your eyes. The safety video is from the 70s. It's narrated by a guy who looks like Jesus. It cost only $100 to jump, and you free fall with a tandem instructor who always smells like booze.
Wow, man, you know, that's just one thing you don't want to skimp on.
Right. It's pretty awesome. I went for my 18th birthday, and I've taken all of my siblings on their 18th birthday ever since. This guy has like a death wish or something.
Kidding.
Trevor, you're lucky it wasn't you falling out of the harness. It was that old lady instead. But thank you for listening, and thanks for the email.
This happens to us for every single good thing that comes along, whether it's April Foolishness or whether it's Coachella or Weenie Roast or Acoustic Christmas. And we always get these. And I just wanted to mention why we can't really pay attention to them. Dear Kevin and Bean, dying Kings fan. My best friend's dad was recently diagnosed with cancer. I can't read the word. Which is terminal. He underwent an 8-hour lung surgery, blah, blah, blah. Goes on and on. And they're asking for Kings tickets. Well, we have one pair of Kings tickets to give away in about a half hour. And we can't really, like, there's no way to double check this. Not that I doubt that this person is.
No, but I bet there are some other Kings fans that are really, really sick, too.
Right, that's
on
the problem.
On top of that.
That's the problem is then we get 20 of those.
Now we have to find the sickest one who can still go to the game.
First we have to verify.
And that's a fine line, right, Lisa?
Yeah.
First we have to verify if they're sick. Then we have to, you know, make sure that they're the sickest. It's just, it's not
possible. But not too sick to enjoy the game.
So while this is heartbreaking, it isn't possible for us to give away tickets that way.
Yeah.
We just can't do it. And finally, from Robert, every year I place a bet for the Kings to win the cup. Done it forever. Forgot this year.
Oh, no.
This is my ticket from last year. Sent a picture. So he did not bet on the Kings to win the Stanley Cup. They're up 3-0. Game 4 is tonight. We have your tickets in a half hour. Mm. Just after the top of the hour, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to be there. And there, of course, is the possibility that the cup will be there and they'll skate it and it'll be fantastic. So you'll get your chance to do that. I don't know if those of you that were watching the game on TV saw this, but in the house they showed Will Ferrell. And his face comes up on the screen. Of course, everybody loves Will Ferrell. And this is his message.
Hey, Kings fans, are you ready? Huh? Are you ready? I need to hear you. I need to hear you right now. Right now. Let's go. Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go. I can't hear you. I'm losing my mind. You need to lose your minds. Let's go. Ah!
So that's Will Ferrell. He is the best. We'll give away those tickets in a half hour from right now on the Kevin.
Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckin Meyer, two of our faves, coming in later today to talk about Franklin and Bash. It has returned for a third season. You love those guys, right, Ralph?
I do love those guys.
So nice.
MPG, of course, a friend of mine from back in the NYPD Blue days.
A lot of letters. A lot of letters.
he started on that show as Sipowicz's new partner. I remember bashing him on the air.
You did. You said, what a disaster this is going
to
be.
Yeah, and yep. He turned out to be excellent on that show, and then I ended up working on that show side by side with him, and he never let me forget what I said.
Well, he did the
final,
right thing.
The finale, I remember I had the cast sign my...
yearbook?
No, script. Oh. My final script. I wanted everybody's autograph on the front page of the script because I was in the finale. So Mark Paul, you know, everybody was very nice and very complimentary and very kind. And Mark Paul wrote, I didn't think you could pull off the role as a uniform cop, but you surprised me because I often said that to him about his work on NYPD.
That's funny.
So,
nice hey, before guy. We get to Showbiz Beat for this hour, and those guys are coming up later on today, what are we doing about giving away the tickets? Are we doing that here?
Ralph, you got tickets to give away here?
Inviting people to call?
Do you have tickets for something for Showbiz?
No. Okay. Do I?
Well, no. We're just checking to see if you do because we're going to do the Kings game next.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to tell people to call at 1-800-520.
Scared me there for a minute. I thought I was supposed to give away something. Didn't know what I had.
1067 is the number. You're going to have to play a game to win, but it is tickets for tonight for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
You could see the cup come to Los Angeles
tonight.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's right. Good luck.
Call now. We'll put you on hold. We'll play a game right after the top of the hour.
Good game, too. Look forward to this game. I'll be hosting the game, by the way.
Not us?
Nope.
All right.
Don't trust you anymore.
Type of the show is,
you guys are taking the day off.
Took you this long?
Yep.
Type of the show is Beat. Here's Ralph.
Little people of America are upset with the film Snow White and the Huntsman because it cast regular size actors in the dwarf roles and then shrank them via CGI rather than casting dwarf actors.
Interesting.
Furious. And when you think about it, look, what do they got? They got Christmas where they can play elves.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Munchkins. When they do a Wizard of Oz movie.
Right.
And then you got the Snow White and the Dwarves.
The Dwarves, that's
those
really,
are your big gigs.
Those are your big gigs. That's it. You don't get one of those. It really cuts into your business.
They're not making Ewoks anymore. No more Ewoks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I guess you could be, you know, R2-D2 once in a blue moon. You get that opportunity, right? But that guy's got that gig.
So they're very upset. And I don't know what they're asking for, but I'm sure it's hard to hear them because they're so far down there. Just have to... The sound doesn't really come up and reach us, so it's hard to hear what's going on. But
I haven't followed this story very closely, Ralph, but is it true that some of them they shrunk, some of the regular-sized people they shrunk in the movie, and some of them they put the actors' faces on actual dwarves that did the work in the film, and then they just superimposed somebody else's face on them?
I'm not familiar with that process, so I didn't know if they did that or not. But these guys are cheesed off that the dwarf actors weren't given a chance to play those roles. However, they did play... dwarves in the Mirror Mirror, the Julia Roberts Snow White movie.
Right.
Those dwarves were actual dwarf actors, so they got some roles.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking they just... I feel like they just think, you know, they only have three roles. So really,
just
all
let
of
us
them.
Have those.
All of them should go.
Anytime
to
there's a dwarf role, right. Please let us have that. Because we are, in fact, dwarves.
Beware of the midgets. Yeah. They're taking over the world.
In a related story, the Actors Association of America complained that instead of casting an actress, they cast Kristen Stewart in the role of Snow White. So you can see why they would be outraged as well. She, by the way, Kristen Stewart, has gone on a tirade, if you read Vanity Fair magazine, going off on the press, going off on the media.
I'd like to hear her on a tirade.
I have been criticized a lot for not looking perfect in every photograph, she says to Vanity Fair.
You just look bored and bad.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed about it. If I look perfect in pictures all the time, the people standing in the room with me on the red carpet would think, what an actress, what a faker. That thought embarrasses me so much that I look like S in half my photos. I don't give an F. What matters to me is what the people in the room say when I leave. They say, she was cool, she had a good time, she was honest. I don't care about the voracious, starving S eaters who want to turn truth into S.
Dude.
Relax.
Seriously.
You win. You were in movies. You make a lot of money and you're not good at what you do. You win.
You yeah. win.
Wow.
You should have no career and you have a career.
Yeah, she calls most reporters and people in the media voracious, starving S-eaters.
That could be true, but separate from her.
I don't know if they're voracious. They yeah. might just be peckish. I think it sounds like she feels guilty for how much success she has.
Because she knows she doesn't deserve it.
Level of talent, yeah, yeah. I really do. That's what it sounds like.
So then she takes pictures that reflect that?
Maybe.
No, I'm saying that's why she's lashing out so much at everybody.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And Amanda Bynes, who was officially charged with a DUI on Tuesday following her April 6th arrest after being pulled over in West Hollywood after allegedly sideswiping a police car after a few cocktails, is defending herself via Twitter. She tweeted directly to President Obama this week, "Hey, at Barack Obama, I don't drink, period. Please fire the cop who arrested me. I also don't hit and run. The end." Really?
That should do it.
Well, that should do it, yeah.
Wow.
Also, dear Santa, I would like a pony. What the hell?
There are white folks, yeah. and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Why you gotta be like that, Barack? Thought we were boys.
You're not.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Englund. He was Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street films. Really talented actor, 65 years old today. Comedian Colin Quinn turns 53. Jay Bentley of Bad Religion, he's the bass player for that band, is 48 years old today. Paul Giamatti, very talented actor, soon to be seen in Rock of Ages. He's 45 years old. Uncle Cracker celebrates his 38th birthday. And little Stacey Keenan, who was the daughter in My Two Dads and Step by Step, she's now 37 years old
wow.
today. How the years have flown. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All I'm saying is Kevin went out on a limb as a sports fan and made the bold prediction that the Los Angeles Kings were not going to win the cup this year, but they were going to sweep in
yep.
the finals.
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I will take credit for it if it happens.
Isn't it funny? He's been jamming this in your craw yeah. the whole time, and it might actually come through. Then you will be known as that guy whether you did it or
yeah.
not. It's pretty
yeah.
hilarious.
Unbelievable. I mean, in the first round of the playoffs, Kevin was saying there's no chance they won't win the cup. I mean, he just has been,
that
he's been
wasn't
relentless.
Happening.
Yet he was absolutely 100% correct. We have to give him all the credit in the world. So tonight could be the night. It's game four of the Stanley Cup final. It may be a sweep against the New Jersey Devils. And the way these guys are playing, I mean, I'd be surprised if it didn't happen, to be honest. But what were we finding out yesterday? I mean, it's $1,000, $2,000, what, to get
yeah,
tickets to get in there tonight?
In the upper
and
the 300
I think
section.
$1,500 is for the cheap seats.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, and it gets more and more towards the ice, of course.
Well, I can't believe that we're going to give you the opportunity to be there in person, but we are at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to debut a brand new game. What's this one called, you guys?
It's called Puck Game or
Game. Puck game or F game?
Okay.
You're going to have to tell us the difference. Ralph will host. Here we go.
Puck game or F game. That's a game we're going to play. Puck game or F game. You use your F or use a stick. Puck game or F game. Kevin guarantees a win. Puck game or F game. From your LA Kings.
All right. Sounds a little unsavory, but all right. How's this one play?
I've got a list of euphemisms here. A list of slang words. Now, some of these are slang for things in a hockey game.
Okay.
And some of these are slang phrases for something to do with sex, sex position, something sexual.
Okay.
So it's the puck game or the F game.
Just say F. Yeah, because we got people on the line that talk that way all the time anyway.
I know, we know, we know.
It's the F sound. So I will be saying either a hockey euphemism or a sex euphemism.
Okay. On the ice or in the bedroom, you tell us. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take the calls in order, starting with line number one. This is going to be Torin. And please be a hockey fan, by the way, at this point, if you're playing the game, because you're going to be taking away the tickets from people who are. Torin, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I guess
we'll put our winners in a drawing, right? That's
yes.
how we're going to pick our winner?
At least
okay.
we'll do drawing.
Torin, here's yours. Between periods. Is that a sexual reference or a hockey reference?
That is definitely a hockey reference.
You're right. Well, it can be both, but mostly it's, both, it's hockey. Yeah, mostly.
Puck game or puck game.
Nicely done. Hold on. All right. Let's go to Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Jeremy,
hello.
Here you go.
Hello. Here's, I'm here.
Okay, Jeremy.
All right. Stop talking.
So are we.
So we can play the game.
The corkscrew. The corkscrew.
Oh, well, I think that's going to be in the bedroom.
You're right.
Nicely
How
done.
About that? Very nice. You are also All in the right. drawing, Jeremy.
Nicely done. Hold on.
All right. Two for two. We go to Rudy now. Rudy's on line three. Rudy, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck.
The clapper. The clapper, Rudy.
Clapper. I'd say Sex Game.
Sex Game? No, I'm sorry. That's a puck game. That's another word for a slap shot. The Clapper. Another word for a slap shot. Sorry about that.
Or it's a Sky Mall.
That's right. You can turn your lights on off with that machine as well, yeah.
Michael is up next, line four. Hey, Michael. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck.
Hey there.
Here you go, Michael. The Polish hook. The Polish hook.
That sounds like a sex act.
No, I'm sorry. Whoa. It's from hockey. That's when a player, usually the goalie, will stick a stick between the legs of a fellow and give him a hook right there in the scrotal region.
Grab.
The Polish hook is what it's known as. Sorry about that.
Thank you for calling anyway. Do we see that in professional hockey games, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
Julian is next. He's on line five. Julian, good luck. It's puck game or F game.
Julian, the Hindenburg.
Hindenburg is a bedroom.
That's correct, yes.
Nicely done.
That's a woman who's so bad at oral sex, you're forced to cry, oh, the humanity, as her teeth scrape you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the Hindenburg.
All right, hold on. This is entertaining and also educational.
There you go.
How about our man Hector? Hector's been trying very hard in the postseason to win these tickets. Maybe today is his lucky day.
Hector the fisherman has gotten through 75 games in the last year.
What's your secret, Hector? How do you keep getting through?
Just keep trying. Consistent.
Huh. All right. Good luck, Hector.
I try every day.
The wrister.
The wrister, that's a hockey term.
That's right. For the wrist shot. Nicely well done.
All right. He knew it. He is in the drawing. We'll find out who's going to win these tickets in a minute for Game 4 tonight at Staples Center. Danae is up next. Danae is on line 7.
Okay, Danae.
Hello.
Danae, here's your euphemism. The pillow stacker.
The pillow stacker?
Mm-hmm.
In the bedroom.
No, I'm sorry.
Are
that's
you
in hockey.
Me?
Yeah. Another word for the goaltender when he stacks
his
pads on top of each other.
Yeah,
also known as the pillow stacker.
Oh, my husband's going to kill me.
Yeah, he probably will.
I hope not, but thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Mm. Chris is up next. He's on line 8.
Is this our
Chris?
Last one here?
It is, yes.
Okay. I believe so, yes.
Here you go, Chris. The zombie mask.
The zombie mask?
Yeah.
Hockey.
No, I'm sorry. That's in the bedroom.
Wrong. Oh, no.
A girl's temporarily blinded by something, and she walks around the room with her arms outstretched, moaning like the walking dead after she gets something in her eyes.
I believe we understand. Yeah.
Game.
Great game. Torin, Jeremy, Julian, Hector. I'm a little bit nervous about what is about to be bestowed on one of our Kevin and Bean listeners. This is a prize that's too sensational for our show.
It's pretty big.
You're not going to believe who won.
Who won?
Really?
Who?
Hector the Fisherman!
Hector!
Yeah! Hector!
Hector! Heck game.
I liked it. Thank you for playing. Can't believe Hector, man. You think he's already got those tickets up on Craigslist?
Better not, bastard. On eBay.
Luckiest guy in the world to win those tickets. Hey, not only Mark Paul Gosselaar and Brecken Meyer joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only the band The Briggs coming in later on today, but check this out. Tomorrow's show, Cat Deely, beautiful, talented host of So You Think You Can Dance, is going to be joining us. Kathy Griffin is going to be here tomorrow. Jake Johnson from The New Girl in the new film Safety Not Guaranteed. And one of the hottest actors in the world today, Michael Fassbender, is going to be joining us tomorrow,
awesome.
Too, from Prometheus. How about that?
Yeah. Cool.
But it's a show.
That doesn't mean necessarily that today's bad.
No, I'm saying we got great stuff today.
Okay.
And then look ahead, we're not blowing our wad today. Look ahead toward tomorrow.
All right, just checking.
All right, speaking of blowing your wad. Kevin, you don't watch Mad Men, and that is just one of many reasons why you are not a winner, because it is one of the best shows in the history of television. It has won the Emmy, I believe, and the Golden Globe for Best Drama on Television 4 years in a row. For whatever reason, you're out.
And I'm willing to accept that it's a great show that I missed.
Okay.
All right.
Spoiler alert for folks who have not caught up or not completely current on Mad Men. We are going to be talking about plot points from 2 episodes ago of the AMC drama Mad Men. Okay, so if you haven't seen that yet, you still got it on your DVR, you want to tune away and not listen to this. There's a woman named Joan who works on the show. You've seen her, Kevin. I know. She's Christina Hendricks. She's
yes.
a gorgeous, full-figured redhead who plays a, kind of an executive secretary on the program.
She's got not small boobs.
She has not small boobs is one way to say it, right? Well, a client that the advertising agency is pursuing on Mad Men has taken particular interest in Joan. And he says, look, I am willing to give to cast my vote to give our company's business. He was running the Jaguar dealerships. He said, I'm willing to cast my vote to give your advertising agency this huge account, because it's a big deal to get a car advertising account for an agency, right?
Right.
if I can have a night with Joan. Let me sleep with Joan.
Wow.
And I will give you my business. So the guys that are in that meeting, they're like, how do we play this one? So they go back
Do you bring that up to her?
How do you bring that up to her?
The smarmiest one that's there is the one that decides to bring it up to her.
On the show, is her character whorish or not at all?
No.
Well, she did have an affair with one of the executives in the agency and had his baby.
Okay.
That is not widely known, though, but she is now currently married to somebody else and has this child. But she has a miserable life, and she's poor, and she's breaking up with her husband. So they come to her, and they say, essentially, I don't know how to bring this up, but we'd be able to get this Jaguar business if you would just, you know, suffer for an hour.
Wow.
Just suck it up and have sex with this fat old guy from Jaguar for an hour. And she is horrified. She's so offended. She's outraged. She's incensed until they tell her that they'll give her $50,000 to do it. Then she starts thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now, what year was this set in?
1967.
$50,000. That sounded like a million then, right?
And what is she making, Lisa? She's making about $12,000 a year or something.
That's
like that.
That's probably about right. And listen, she isn't really a horse woman. The guys are afraid of her.
Oh,
they
really
don't want to offend her. She's kind of like royalty in a way. I mean, she's got an attitude about her that makes this even more crazy that you would bring it to her.
$50,000.
Yeah, four times your salary they offer her. Then
she said no.
She said no. She said, I am outraged. I'm offended. I can't even believe you bring that up to me. So then somebody else, another senior partner, basically, head of accounting, comes into her and he says, look, I don't want you to do it, but if you're going to, you can get more than $50,000 out of it. You need to be a full partner and get 5% of the company's revenues.
Wow.
Once she starts thinking about that, she thinks it over. The next day she comes in and says, I'm in. What do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah, I mean, how's it work?
Set it up.
That's the part she should be able to handle.
I'm in, set it up.
Set it up, basically. Oh, what do I do? Does he just call me? Do I meet him? And she ends up meeting him at the hotel room, and it's an extremely unpleasant hour. There's about 30 seconds of chit-chat, and then he says,
oh, no.
How can I see them?
Oh.
I mean, basically, I mean,
that's
it says. It's as blatant as how can I see them?
Yeah.
No, I can't wait. So that brings up this topic. She made a choice. Look, you may not approve of her choice. Maybe you say you wouldn't have done the same thing as she did, but it's 1967. You're breaking up with your husband. You've got an infinite home. Your mom is living with you, taking care of the kid, and you hate your mom. You're looking at a brighter future. You're looking at a way out. So you take the money. You suck it up for an hour. Yes, it's prostitution.
Hey,
but
watch your language.
who gets hurt here? Joan's set up now for the next few years,
so
right?
So she walks into the hotel room, and he says,
so am I going to see some jugs, or am I wasting my time here?
Pretty
that
much.
That is exactly what happened.
Wow. Right?
So we started thinking, that's a pretty sweet deal for an hour. What kinds of things have our listeners gotten in exchange for sex? I doubt they've gotten several years of salary like this woman did.
I wonder. Who knows if it's somebody that's ultra rich, what is that to them?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a great point. Hey, look at Casey. He's got her finger on the button, who works here at the Kevin and Bean Show. You know how much she wants King's tickets? I'm just saying, there's room to negotiate. I'm saying everybody has a price, right?
Well, I don't think everybody does, but certainly if the price is high enough, a lot more people would consider it.
Yes. You have to think about it.
A lot more people would think about it. Look, we've had this conversation on our show a million times. Lisa would never have sex with Doc, our newsman, until the money started getting into six figures, and then you got to start thinking about it, right?
Then you go, look, it's gonna be bad.
I still haven't said yes.
Right, because we haven't found the right number, but we will. But the point is that you can pretty much, you know how bad it's going to be.
Right.
Really.
But you know what the upside of that is once you're done, you take a shower, you move on with your life, and look what you have. It's the new car, or it's the new jet, or it's the new job, or it's the new whatever.
Can you give your mind a shower, though, Bean?
No, you can't. So what, I don't know. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And I assume we're only going to be talking to women here.
I do, too.
Right? I assume.
I was thinking yesterday, there's no possible way we'll get a call from men, because men, just the act itself is payment. They don't need anything else.
Well, it could be younger guy, older woman.
Could be younger guy, older man, too, by the way.
Could be
something. Yeah. That might involve an apartment or a car or something like that.
Sure.
So I don't really know what we're going to get, but we would like you to call us, and you can certainly be anonymous or change your name or whatever you need to do. But we want to hear, what did you get for having sex? What was the prize at the end of that potentially bad experience? 1-800-520-1067. This should be very, very interesting. We'll take your calls next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean. So are we surprised to see all dudes on the phone?
I am. I figured it would be
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
I figured
sausage
it would be at least mostly women.
Well, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about things you got for having sex with someone. Topic came up recently. We were watching Mad Men and saw a woman who got a full partnership in an advertising agency plus 5% of profits just for basically 1 hour of sex with a potential client. And that's what made us think, wow, what kind of good stuff are you getting?
Was she on the clock, Bean? I mean, like, if they finished at 50 minutes, could she leave? Or did she literally have to stay there an hour?
I think she left when he was done.
And by 50 minutes, I mean 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with David on line 8 to get us going here on the topic. David, you were the one having the sex or giving the sex. What was your story?
Well, hello, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi there.
The whole thing was that she gave me a check for a deposit for a bar guarantee at a facility where we were having an event in return for sex.
She gave you a deposit?
Yeah, she gave me the bar guarantee. They wanted a $1,000 bar guarantee. And I didn't want to put my money into it.
Oh, I see.
She would put the money into it.
She would put the money into it if you had sex with her?
Yes.
Was she someone you'd sleep with anyway?
No.
Oh, no.
No, no. Because, you know why? Because hot girls do not have to make that deal.
No, they don't.
No, they usually get paid.
Yeah.
But even unhot girls generally don't have to make deals to have somebody have sex with them.
That's true as well.
So,
For some reason, she was very interested at that point in time.
All right.
Interesting. Okay, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to James number 1. He's on line 4. James number 1, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll go right to James number 2 for his story.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Good.
So basically, I had sex with the chick for dinner and 6 flight tickets.
Would you have sex with the girl for free?
No.
Really?
Wait. Wow, what's going on here today?
That's a pretty low price dinner in Magic Mountain.
Was
tickets.
It dinner with her?
Yeah, she took me out to dinner, and then, beforehand, we had gone to Six Flags.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would spend a whole evening with someone you don't really like?
Well, we had been friends for 10 years. She just wasn't attractive.
Oh, I see. All right. Hmm. So she said, hey, let's do this, and what was your first reaction?
What do I get?
Right.
How much? Way to be a good friend, James.
Wow.
How much you gonna toss in?
Wow, you're unbelievable. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to the other James. He's on line 2, joining us here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Much bigger stakes in play here. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. I ended up getting a full ride to college. I slept with my mother's friend. I used to do chores for her, and she approached me one day and said, "Hey, I know what you're saving up for. I know how you work. If we make arrangements, I'll send you your tuition check once a year."
Was it one time, or did you have to do it once a year?
It was prearranged. She, you know, about twice a year she would come up and visit, kind of thing.
No kidding.
What was the age difference between you two?
I think I want to say she was in her 40s at the time.
Right. Was she hot?
No, not to me, at least. You know.
Yeah.
Was she married?
No. Divorced her, so she left a bit of money.
So you got a full ride?
Pretty much.
And so did she?
You got a full ride and someone else paid for your college?
Pretty much the only thing I had to pay for was, you know, extra expenses like gas and things like that if I wanted to go somewhere.
That's unbelievable that a woman paid to send you to college if you had sex with her. That's a crazy story. Wow.
Yeah, but I am very thankful. Even though the sex was not that great, I am still very thankful for her.
Yeah, whatever with the sex.
Of course.
Yeah.
You're not paying off your college loans right now. That's great.
That's amazing. Mm. Thank you, James. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Louie. Louie is on line 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lou. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Big Smay.
Hello.
So basically, this was a few years back. I had made a friend through a friend of a doctor who used to work through a local plastic surgery office.
Okay.
Through university. And she knew that I had a girlfriend, and I was serious about it with her. But she was very persistent, and over about a 9-month period, she finally put down the ultimate deal, which was, if you sleep with me, I'll do whatever plastic surgery your girlfriend wants.
Oh, wow. But now it's not only your decision, right?
Well, it kind of still is my decision, because I wasn't even sure how to bring it up to my girlfriend at the time that this would be an option. So she actually never knew that the option was on the table.
Did you do it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so you did it, and then she got free plastic surgery. Didn't she say, hey, how come this isn't costing me anything?
No, because she didn't know. She thought, at first she just figured out I was flipping the bill.
Oh, I see.
And in the way you were working it off.
You know, essentially, I was working it off, and she had no idea. But after a while, it kind of got to me that I wasn't being honest with her. So I kind of let her know that, hey, I did this many times to give you that.
You are stupid man.
Yeah, you never should have brought that up.
I thought so, too. I thought, you know what, this is going to blow up in my face. But she was actually pretty okay with it because when she looked at it, we both didn't have jobs that really paid well.
Right.
And the fact that she got liposuction and got breast augmentation done. And,
wow.
You know, and had follow-up treatment, things like that.
Plus,
it was only like three times.
Plus, I slept with this girl so that I could get your purse. And I slept with this girl for your ring.
Pretty much. And the doctor wasn't horrible. She wasn't necessarily my type.
Yeah.
Right, but she wasn't repulsive.
I mean, she would, you know, it's a toss-up. Each person might have their own thing of what repulsive was. I mean, she
sure.
was a lot bigger than I normally would be with.
Right.
I mean, she outweighed me by about 50, 55 pounds.
Right,
and
yeah.
And she was
yeah.
about 6 inches shorter than me. So right then and there, it kind of figured out that
I got you.
There's only certain positions we were going to be able to do.
So what was your girlfriend's reaction when she found out what the deal was?
Basically, she was shocked, and she was really mad for, I would say, about a half hour, maybe an hour.
Then she looked in the mirror.
We talked about it, and then she's like, you know what, I'm cool with it. I got this. You know what? I wish there was more people you knew we could get more things from.
And see.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The trees on the world-famous K-Rock 106.6 KROQ. It is 7:52.
A lot of extra excitement for you on that song, Ralph. What's going on?
Yes. It's peppy.
It is peppy.
It's a hit. It's peppy.
Fun, period. And their latest Some Nights coming up. Also some Soundgarden, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Group Love. Plus our friends Mark Paul Gosselaar and Brecken Meyer. They are Franklin and Bash. And they join us coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Beach.
Franklin and Bash sounds like a sex move. We were playing that game earlier. A hockey term or sex term. Give her old Franklin and Bash. Sounds like something she's going to walk funny afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
It does. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
You know Amber Portwood? You know, familiar with her from Teen Mom over there on the MTV?
I'm not.
The one Dr. Drew knocked up.
No, that's not what happened.
I don't believe he knocked up anyone.
No, that's not
the case. I thought
that's
what happened. Does he impregnate all those chicks at Teen Mom?
No, he does not. She has been in and out of the court system, problems with drug sentencing and charges racked up as early as, most recently as last year in December. Well, she was given a suspended sentence for her most recent drug arrest on the grounds that she complete a stint in rehab. Okay. A good deal, right?
Yeah.
Not for Amber. She cited rehab is not for her, went back to the court and said she wants to serve her time
what?
Rather than get straight. That's really? How much she loves drugs.
But you're going to have to, well, maybe you're not going to have to, but you'd think you were going to have to go without the drugs in jail, which is basically rehabbing.
But when you get out, woo, you're still hooked. It's party time.
Wow, that's...
So, her dream came true. She went back into court.
Wonder how many times
Judge sentenced her, by the way, to 5 years in prison.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
How many times
she would rather do the time than get straight. Teen Moms. It's a good idea on every level.
Jeez.
Just keeps getting better. This is something I think we're going to need to start watching the second that it's on television.
Okay.
New reality show on Spike TV. Called Last Family on Earth.
Last Family on Earth.
Yes. Families will be brought in to compete against each other, and they will be tested on their course of action in the following several different scenarios. A pandemic.
Okay.
They'll be judged on how they react when they replicate those conditions. Global government or economic collapse. A nuclear war. A reactor meltdown. A solar flare or asteroid hitting the Earth. Lethal climactic change, perhaps caused by a pole shift, volcano eruption, or earthquakes. The family that responds best to these scenarios will win their very own underground fortified bunker.
That's funny. All of those people that will compete probably already have one.
They get to move in to their bunker
awesome.
Just before the end of the year, which, of course, you know, this is the end.
Sure.
The Mayan calendar has told us that the world ends this year. This will ensure their survival. So Spike is looking for the crazies. and their families who want to compete against each other for Last Family on Earth is the name of the reality show.
How do they replicate all of those end-of-the-world scenarios, though, on a game show?
Through Hollywood magic, my friend.
Okay.
Through the magic of special effects.
Well, those doomsday preppers, man, have got to be applying for this show.
They got a heads up. They already know what's going on.
You heard about that. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, Ralph, early in the show. We were talking about that that former missile silo in Kansas that they have converted into condos with 9-foot concrete walls and the whole deal. It's got its own power grid and everything in it.
That's Kansas.
For people who believe end of the world.
Yeah. Look, now that the cannibal virus is starting to spread, I think it's a good idea for us all to be fortified. Are you worried like I am about Glee?
No.
Yeah, we all are, right?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
The rest of us stopped watching it in season one.
We're all worried about Glee.
No.
Because some of the characters are moving on. Some of the characters are graduating. What's going to happen with Glee? We're all concerned about Glee.
Well, they're 30 and they're playing high schoolers. They got to move on at some point.
The good news is they're introducing 3 new characters on Glee.
All right.
It's just been announced. They will introduce a guitar-playing brother for Puck. Puck gets a brother.
Okay.
Puck brother or brother is our new game. A high school girl and a college-age guy, all whom will be singing on the show. So new characters coming for all you Gleeks to enjoy in the seasons to come. So no reason for concern. See the photos yesterday of Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, I did.
She had a bit of a wardrobe malfunction while filming her new telemovie.
God bless her.
Liz and Dick, story of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. On the set of a yacht, apparently, they were having a bit of a tussle. They were filming a scene where there was an argument between the two characters. And Lindsay was wearing a sundress, a retro 60s sundress that kind of was just kind of suspended there over her bosoms. And next thing you know, they just popped out and were just getting some fresh salt air.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
And America yawned. Because we've all seen her can so often now, it's kind of hard. Mm-hmm. You got Playboy magazine.
Pretty good can, though.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
She's a lovely, lovely girl. And I find her infinitely attractive, if not crazy. Well, it's just she can't catch a break. She's trying to work now, and then
I think this is good for her.
You think?
Yeah. It's publicity. That's not her in court.
She is not lacking for publicity.
I know, but it's
what
not
she's
bad.
Lacking for is credibility.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, she's trying desperately to get back into work, and
I think it would be distracting, Ralph, to be on a television movie set and having the paparazzi filming you while you're filming your scenes.
Of course it is, but they do it from a distance. I mean, the ship was just off the coast.
Right, but she knows they're there.
And they've got those super telephoto lenses. That's how they grab the shots. But I feel bad for her sometimes. I also feel bad for big fat people.
Why?
Because they're big and fat.
Yeah.
Can't be fun.
No story.
Can't be fun, can't be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's a story, of course. I want to give them the heads up. If you'd like to be an ex-fat person, how about going on The Biggest Loser? That's a TV show with an enormous amount of success.
Sure.
One of the few reality shows that actually delivers on what it promises. You go on The Bachelor or Bachelorette looking for love. Do you find love?
Never.
Nay, I say. You go on The Biggest Loser. Do you lose weight?
Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Most of the time.
You know why? Because they got those cattle prods and they make you do stuff. They put you on a wheel like a hamster.
I don't think that happens.
Yeah, that's how Beer Mug lost all his weight.
Is it?
Yeah, cattle prods and hamster wheels.
Huh.
If you'd like to be on The Biggest Loser, they're now casting for season 14.
How heavy do you have to be? Is there a limit?
Yes, you have to need to lose 85 pounds at least. You have to be 85 pounds overweight. To qualify.
So only 90% of America can qualify.
That's right, Your chance to change your life, lose the weight, and compete to win $250,000. It's a win-win-win. Saturday, June the 16th is the date. Make your plans to be at the Boys and Girls Club, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'd say just you could roll in probably around 10 a.m. and be alone because most fat people don't get up that early. They have a hard time getting anywhere on time.
Beer Mug, you going for this?
I don't need to lose any more weight, Bean. Thank you.
The way you're eating, Mike.
A week from Saturday,
you'll be back up to 85 pounds above.
Lots of the week, I wear the Sansa belt. It's like professional athletes.
Now I gained it all back.
Boys and Girls
Club.
Can you
read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? No, I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
Yeah. Lincoln Boulevard, Venice, California, Boys and Girls Club. You can check it out, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday, June the 16th. Not this Saturday, but next. So here's your heads up. I saw Ted last night, the new Seth MacFarlane.
How is Ted?
Please.
So freaking funny. Oh, well, I knew it was funny because I read the script, you know, because I'm in the movie a little bit. And so I said, if they just filmed the script, if they just did that, they would have a hilarious movie on their hands. And they've actually improved on the original
script.
Wow,
that's great.
But thinking about fat people, there's a scene in there with this fat kid and his father. And the father says, "I don't say no to my kid, ever." And Ted, the stuffed bear, says, "Well, saying no to a few Snickers bars wouldn't be a bad idea." Made me laugh.
Ralph, were you happy with your scenes?
I was. I was very happy with my scenes.
You didn't get cut out or anything?
I did not get out. I'm in the early, very early part of the film. It's very entertaining, and it's nice because my scenes are right up front at the very beginning of the film. And then after that, I could like exhale and stop worrying about what I was going to look like on the screen and enjoy the rest of the film. So it was a perfect experience.
So excited. When's that coming out? End of this month, right?
June the 29th is the release
date. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I won't see it, but I'm really excited
of course
about it coming out.
I will see it. Yeah. I can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger. 65 years old today. Colin Quinn, very funny comedian, turns 53. Jay Bentley, bassist for Bad Religions, 48 years old today. Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors, soon can be seen in Rock of Ages. He is 45 years old. And singer Uncle Cracker celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It is a yearly visit that we always look forward to with the return of Franklin and Bash on TNT. Our friends Mark Paul Gosselaar and Brecken Meyer join us in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, boys.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey. Good to see you again. This is what I love about TNT. This is why they're awesome. This is why they think outside the box. Is they send you guys in to promote a show that premiered last night.
Hop in your Wayback Machines, kids.
How about that? Pretty
Set
sweet,
it to
right?
88 miles per hour.
They know how to drive eyeballs to that show that already aired, don't they?
Of course, yeah.
We're glad to have you here. We're glad to have you here, but we have to be honest.
Of course.
We don't talk to people a lot the day after something happens.
You know what?
And a full week until it airs again.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We like to have a lot of post-game wrap-up on our
show. Right, exactly.
We were just hoping to think about, you know, hear about what you guys thought of the show.
Well, I'm glad it's back. I can't believe we're in season three already.
And yet we're in season two.
What? I thought this was the start of season three.
That's how long it's been since we've been here. But yeah,
I mean, the last time you were here, you weren't sure if it was going to be picked up.
We had no idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is season two.
Well, congratulations.
I can't believe this is season four.
I can't believe you guys have been doing 10 seasons already. You look amazing.
Well, it is super fun. And it does, I mean, look, you guys look like you're having the times of your life on this show, and that really translates. I mean, it's just a fun show. How many shows can you say that about without trying to be hilarious? It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, we have a surprisingly good time making it. We joke about that we're fans of our show, but the truth is we have a really fun time making it. We get to, you know, bring on a lot of guest stars that are buddies of ours. You know, Seth Green's coming on,
sure.
And Kevin Nealon was on last night. Like, it really is just a really fun gig.
Chris Klein, him and I were in a grocery store together, and he said, "Oh, I'm a fan of the show." I said, "Well, come on," and he's on.
That's how Hollywood
that's
works.
That's
right
how it works in the big time.
That's right. Kind of cool.
Well, I mean, their assistants were at the grocery store. So it wasn't that.
Right, yeah. They'll do their own shopping. Come on.
They're not animals.
Was that Howard Hessman I saw on last night's
that
show?
That was Martin Mull.
Martin Mull, that's what I mean.
Howard
yes, they're,
yeah,
they're the same
Mull.
Person to me.
Yeah. That was Martin Mull. That was Martin Mull in the show, which was pretty great.
Just playing one scene as a judge.
Yeah, for about 4 hours.
Yeah. That's all we had him. We only had him for 3.5, I think.
Really? He said, I'll do it.
He's a robot.
I'll do it, but you got 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Then I got to watch Wapner.
Yeah.
He's like an iPhone. His battery ran out.
Then I got to go do nothing.
I have to hurry up and go do my nothing.
Yeah.
There aren't really any big-time lawyers in the world, though, that live together, right? That's not a thing that happens,
I think
right?
It was based on Johnny Cochran. He and Kardashian used to live together. I'm
really?
Kidding. I'm totally kidding. I have no idea.
I was buying it,
I know.
Too.
I apologize for that.
I mean, that's kind of a weird conceit, though, for the show. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think their feeling is these guys are lifelong buddies, and it started probably as a necessity, a right. financial necessity. I think in the end.
Financial necessity.
Yeah, financial necessity. I think by season five, we'll come out. I think by season five.
I was going to say, it's are we working
out.
Toward a
once they
romance?
Recognize it, once they
I know
recognize
I
it in every state, no. Then yes, we'll
sure.
Okay.
You know, it was a shock to us until about 6 months ago. Some close friends of the Kevin and Bean Show that come on all the time, two comedians, Eddie Eft and Jim Jefferies, very hugely successful stand-up comedians, were roommates. They were living together too, and they said, "Well, it's just because you know we're traveling a lot. We're both traveling a lot. Just cuts down on the rent." And I thought, "Well, I guess it makes
we're
sense."
We're never home.
You just don't think of grown men living together. It just doesn't.
I
that
think
happens.
Of it often, but yeah, I don't think they do. I think that's part of their Peter Pan, their Peter Panness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is them shacking
not
up
growing
together.
Up,
not growing up, refusing to grow up, refusing to do what the man says.
Got to be honest, first time I've ever heard the word Peter Panness.
Really?
Yeah.
Most people say Peter Pan Complex, right. But I say Peter Panness.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now, what is this?
It's also my porn name.
Peter Panness.
Peter Panness. It's when spelled different.
When I set up to record Franklin and Bash on TNT last night, and again, if you're just joining us, you've missed it already. It already aired.
You don't have time to tune in
right
now.
I will say, you can watch that show Men at Work on Thursday that I'm involved with.
All right,
just because that is on in a couple days.
All right.
I'll plug that.
Are you on that show, too? When you say I'm just involved, meaning what? You have a pass on your DVR
for
it?
Hold on. Here comes the horns.
Are you ready?
Tell them. Here it is.
I created Men at Work.
What?
That's my show. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Come on. What really?
That's true. Shut up. I did too.
And he's much better at that.
I'm much better at that than pretending to be a lawyer.
What's the process where you go, I'm going to start a show?
I started writing about a terrible breakup I had when I was younger, and it became the pilot for the show.
No kidding.
Yeah. Huh.
And he did that in between takes of Franklin and Bash?
I did that in between, which is why my work suffered on Franklin and Bash, which is why the acting is so subpar.
He doesn't know his lines again.
Yeah.
Point was, when I went to set up my DVR to get Franklin and Bash last night, I noticed that there was like 10 hours of something called Rizzoli and
I noticed Isles. That too.
Is that a real thing? Is that a show?
Yes.
It was on
the hell
all day.
Is that?
It was on all day, and then your show was on, and then it went right back to it.
Right.
They just squeezed you in on a Rizzoli and Isles marathon. It's almost like, could they show you any less love?
Rizzoli and Isles is a I think it's probably their biggest show.
It's never their biggest show besides The Closer.
Angie Harmon's in it,
I've
right?
never heard
Angie Harmon yeah. is in it, and Sasha Alexander. It is their biggest show, I believe, on TNT.
Yeah.
Now that The Closer is not there.
Nah, The Closer is coming.
It may be coming back for a final.
So we're piggybacking on their numbers.
Okay.
Good for you.
Yeah, we didn't have a lead-in last year. Our lead-in was a rerun of something.
The Mentalist.
The Mentalist. Something. And so this was the first time we actually had a lead-in, which hopefully brings more eyeballs to the show. Like next week, because we're not on tonight.
You're not on tonight. You were on last night.
Exactly.
Right.
You must have been so delighted when you finally got the call that they were bringing you back.
Yeah. We were both pretty excited.
Because that would have been super, super sad to only be on for one season.
It would have been really tragic, I think. For Malcolm
McDowell,
especially.
It's super sad to be on for two seasons. I've been on TNT on two of their shows, and they've gone two seasons. So we're hoping for that third. We got to get that third.
So you might
according
be the jinx
Bean,
in this
you're
one.
Already doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
You're already doing the third season, according to Bean.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Maybe
well, that's good.
Maybe it is happening.
Maybe he knows something we don't.
He runs Hollywood.
I was about
a lot of
to
people
say,
don't know that.
We need that
the show from very far away.
It's called Franklin and Bash. It airs on TNT, and it airs Tuesday nights at 10. Season 2 just premiered. If folks want to see it, they play full episodes on the website, though, right? People can go to TNT and they can see it.
Yeah, that internet has everything.
That's the way to go. Yeah. Mark Paul Gosselaar is here along with Breckenmeyer. We'll return right after this on the Kevin. Mark Paul Gosselaar and Breckenmeyer in studio with us. They are Franklin and Bash on TNT. It came back for season 2 last night, every Tuesday night at 10. You know, it was so cute during the song because these guys are actually friends. Mark, you were actually sad that Brecken is busy. He's a grown-up. He's an adult. He wears a tie, and he has this other job. So what are you supposed to do with all your free time, right? It's kind of sad for you. He's not available to hang out as much anymore.
That's right. We can't go to the driving range. We can't have breakfast.
So what are you doing? How are you filling these lonely, empty hours in your schedule now that your boy has left you?
Meth and video games?
Yeah.
Bath salts and video games.
Yeah. I think I got to get a job now. I got to get a part-time job while my buddy's away.
It's like he found a girlfriend, and now he's not spending any more time with you.
It's true.
Yep.
Oh.
That's what it is.
He's changed.
He's changed.
I do. I tweet. I text him that all the time. You changed.
Yeah. Now, I like the old you.
I ignore those texts and have my assistant ignore them.
What was the story you guys were talking about when you came in the room? Whose dad wishes the other were his son instead of the
my
one he got?
My dad, who is a lovely man.
Chris.
Uh-huh. My dad, Chris.
Love you, Chris.
Who is in San Francisco, so we may not hear this, but
I just wanted to proclaim my love.
My
for
dad and Mark Paul have way too many hobbies in common, and I apparently with my dad have none.
Are you the odd man out now?
And
I guess
the son he never
I'm
had.
I'm not kidding. They have
we're
this,
online together.
Yeah,
we're
online.
Like, we're on, there's a cycling website that it's like Twitter or Facebook for cyclists.
Right.
And him and I are commenting, giving kudos to each other.
It's so weird.
And you that hate
is,
it.
They,
you
they
hate
do
us.
All this internet stroking of each other all the time. I'm not kidding. We were doing
send
press
pictures
tour.
To each other yeah, of us in our cycling
we
kits.
We were in Chicago, and we're doing press for something, and he's on his phone, and he goes, And I go, what is it? He goes, your dad.
That's sort of disconcerting, no matter who, if it's no matter what friend it is.
It's better than my mom, but still, it is weird.
I don't think I want any of my friends to be friends with my parents.
No, and he sends messages through me. Oh, you got to tell MP I got this new Nike Fuel Band. And I was like, why don't you tell him yourself, Dad?
We actually texted this morning.
Yeah.
Your dad and I. Yeah, we did.
Hilarious. You're a real son of a bitch.
We're talking about where he congratulated me on the premiere last night, and then he commented on the fact that we drive a Prius, and he talked about the roof racks on a Prius, and then he was talking about his Aston Martin that he drives, and I said, well, I'll take you up on the offer of your Aston, and then we talked about cycling. And, you know,
I'm saying I have not heard anything from
and then
dad
he said,
is
my son still a failure?
Yeah. He was like, how's my son's brother Brecken doing?
That's hilarious. Hey, Paul, tell me about you and cycling. Is this are you a distance cycler?
You're gonna regret.
No, I'm curious because every time I live on a little island here, and lots of people love to cycle here because there's so many hills, so many up and down. It's a tremendous workout. But every time I drive by that line of bicycles, I go, you know, we have cars now, right?
Yeah.
You know that's way better.
Do you wear the skin tight?
Oh my god, he wears
outfits.
He calls it a kit because apparently that's what it's really called.
It's called a kit.
Sure.
And I know this because we will be filming Frank and Beans up in Santa Clarita. And they'll be like, where's Mark? And I'll show up. And they'll be like, where's Mark Paul? And they're always on a ride. And, you know, over the horizon comes this super-suited hero.
Why don't you ask
Mark Paul
Brecken
in his tight gear.
What he asked me to get his father for Christmas this year?
I got my dad a kit from Mark Paul.
A kit.
A biking kit. It's a superhero outfit. So Mark Paul comes over the hill wearing the super skin-tight superhero outfit.
And your dad
outfit.
Is pedaling next to him.
My dad pedaling right next to him. They're holding hands. And they're, you know. He wears everything. He's got it all. He's got the helmet. And he's not embarrassed about it, and here's the problem. He should be.
Yes.
And he's not.
That was my point in bringing it up.
No, he should be embarrassed.
He's
got the pedals with the clippy thing.
Sure.
The
you got to have it all.
So he comes off the bike, clip-clop, 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 all like just kind of.
That's pretty dorky.
It's
how far do you go,
pretty dorky,
Paul? What do you, seriously, what's the deal here?
I started about 8 years ago on a dare to do a triathlon, but I didn't do that. I just did the bicycling portion. And then I was a fan of Lance Armstrong's, and then I got into racing.
Right.
And so I race bicycles. I actually don't like to be on a bicycle for over 2 hours.
I don't like to be on a bicycle for 15 minutes.
I was going to say 20 minutes, I'm done.
But I'm not that rider that likes, like his father will go on these trips to the Dolomites and he'll go overseas.
Yeah, I have friends that do 100-mile trips all
see,
the time.
I'm not into that. I'm into racing. I'm into.
Wait, what did you do the other week?
What did I do the other
that
week?
That one day you had the huge 100 and whatever.
Well, that's it. I got roped into doing that. Yeah, I did
but,
it.
But how,
I can
how
do
many
it.
Miles was it?
It was 108 or so.
You went 108 miles on a bicycle?
Yeah, and it was 11,000 feet of climbing.
Oh, my God.
So it was all uphill?
Pretty much. Yeah.
That is stupid.
It is stupid. I agree. I'm not into those rides. No, I race. I like to race.
Because they have cars almost everywhere.
Right. That's the point.
Right.
And he has one too. Maybe.
I didn't know there was I'm not joking here. I'm not making fun. But honestly, I didn't know there was such thing as bicycle racing. That's a real thing.
What?
Yeah. Well, what Lance Armstrong does. I mean, it's not.
The Tour de France. I know about the Tour de France. But for regular people, there's bicycle racing.
Yeah, absolutely.
People get together and what distance?
Well, there's about two races every weekend, and it ranges. I mean, we have these things called criteriums, which are around.
Say, he's being humble here because he races with the pros. Like he does pro-am stuff. Like he does real race. Like
well,
he sponsors.
That in his face
he's,
when he's talking about not being able to have breakfast and stuff.
Listen, I don't want to put this guy down. He's 5'5" and plays basketball. I mean, how more pathetic can that be?
He plays
I don't come to your
well.
Court
I'm
and
just
talk
saying, he plays it
trash
well.
About you.
We played basketball.
We've never played basketball.
Excuse me for a second. When we were in Hawaii. We played basketball.
What's happening?
Oh, my God.
I feel like we're eavesdropping on a couple having a fight right
Why
now.
Why don't you two just get married?
Because it's not legally recognized everywhere.
You know that you would have your father's consent.
I actually, absolutely.
My son-in-law, I love him so much.
But who would he walk down the aisle, though? That would be such a tough choice for
him. I think
the
weirdest thing is my dad would probably be a little jealous of me.
Well, it's gotten officially creepy now. We just crossed the line right there. Anything else you want to tell us about Franklin and Bash, by the way, before we go, guys?
It aired last night.
Yeah, it sure did. It sure was fun.
Wow. It'll air again this week.
But they
replay it,
right? They replay it.
Yeah,
on
they replay
TNT.
It. You can watch it, but also
in
you
between
can watch it next week.
Episodes of Rizzoli and Isles.
Right, yeah. Yes. Hopefully Tuesday nights at 10 on TNT, and then Men at Work.
Men at Work
is
on
Thursday nights.
Thursday nights at 10.
Who's on this week, Brecken?
Who's on this week? That's a great question.
He wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't,
yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know.
How tight for time are you guys?
We're
can
okay.
you stick around for one more?
We have until next week.
We have a whole week. We have a feature that we do from time to time on the show that I think you guys will enjoy, and I would like you guys to be a part of it if you have time to stick around for one more break.
Could not say no to that, of course.
Okay. Right. We'll be right back here on The Kevin and Bean. The band is called The Briggs, and they will be joining us after the top of the hour, just after 9 o'clock here on The Kevin and Bean Show. They've been around for a long time, but are suddenly famous because of their This Is L.A. song that they play at all the Kings games. They'll be performing that live for us next hour, too. In studio right now, Franklin and Bash themselves, Mark Paul Gosselaar and Brecken Meyer are here. Ralph, I know you're very excited. You're a fan of both of these guys, and it's going to be the first ever celebrity edition of Snowy or Clooky.
Very excited.
Snowy or Clooky?
I'm sorry. I love that show. That's after Franklin and Bash.
I believe it's
Clooky and Chloe is the name
that's
of the
it.
Game.
No, that's better. Let's do it that way.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
The game, of course, is very simple. I will read you a tweet. It has been tweeted by either Snooki or Khloe Kardashian. All you need to do is to identify which celebrity, in quotes, tweeted it.
Now, the Sounders will tell you which one it is. This is for Chloe.
That's our Chloe identifier.
This is Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
So you got
that's
that. Right. All right.
So that's who will identify the tweets, all right? Everyone has
here classy
we go.
Show.
Everyone clear on the rules?
Yes. Snooki or Clooki? Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go. This is an actual tweet, tweeted by an actual person. Penguins are awesome. Penguins are awesome. Someone took the time to tweet.
Penguins are awesome.
Do we say now?
Or? Yeah.
Well, feel free to guess.
I'm going
to
say that was Chloe.
That's Chloe.
That's Chloe.
Two Chloes over
gonna,
in the side of the room.
I'm going to agree with the boys. I'm going to say Chloe as well.
I think I'm going Snooki.
Me too.
Because I don't have to say
I don't
because,
think Snooki would be in a place where penguins are.
But I think
so temperature-wise.
Well, it could be.
No penguins at the Jersey Shore.
She could have been at the zoo for the first time in her life or
she
something.
She could be watching TV.
That's true.
All right.
Watching Happy Feet 2, for all we know.
Kevin and Lisa are into Snooki. The rest of us all say Chloe.
If one thing leads to another, yes! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki it was indeed.
Very strong.
Here we go.
All right. Was she in Happy Feet?
I don't believe so. About to get my artichoke on. Someone
on.
Tweeted, about to get my artichoke on.
About to get
See,
my...
now, ordinarily I would say that Snooki wouldn't care what she eats, but now that she's pregnant and she's totally reinventing
ordinarily.
Herself diet.
Yeah, but who would say about to get the food on? That's not Chloe, I don't think. I think that's Snooki.
I think it's a Snooki, too. That's
okay.
what I'm saying.
I think it's
Snooki.
I'm going to go with Snooki, yes.
I'm going to go with Chloe.
I'm Snooki.
Lisa?
I'm Snooki, too.
So everybody's Snooki yeah. except for Brecken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I have in a hole I will never dig out of.
I have one. Lisa has one. Brecken has one. Bean has zero. Mark Paul Gosselaar has a zero. Suck it.
Okay. Here's an actual tweet for an actual person. Jelly Belly to all those at the Beyonce concert tonight.
Is Jelly that belly. Like a Jelly sleeper belly. Cell activation
code? Time is now. I believe Jelly Belly is another euphemism for someone's jealous. I'm Jelly
yes,
Belly
I think you're right.
of you. I'm Jelly
okay.
Belly of you. Jelly Belly to all those at Beyonce's concert tonight. Is the tweet.
Makes me hate society
on one
so
hand,
much.
Yeah. On one hand, you have Snooki who would say that. On the other hand, Chloe is married to Lamar Odom, who loves candy.
Does
so maybe
he?
She
oh, he does. Yeah, he
loves.
We've already,
yeah.
more we've than, already yeah. explained away the Jelly Belly reference, though, right?
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Candy.
I know, but I'm saying. Yeah, never mind.
I'm going to say. I think this is Chloe. I think she would want to be at a Beyonce concert, so I'll
I'm
say Chloe.
I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm saying Snooki as well.
I'm going
that's
Chloe.
That's the Christian pronunciation.
I'm
Lisa
going
goes Chloe,
Chloe
as well. Chloe.
Okay, so who was Snooki? It was just me and Brecken?
All right.
Yep.
Chloe it is.
Nice.
On the boards.
Yeah. Mark Paul, we're back in it, man.
There you go.
Lisa's ahead.
She is.
Yep.
All right.
All right. This is a tweet.
It's not right.
None of this is right.
I had a dream. I was back in high school, and Chelsea Handler was my biology teacher.
Oof.
Sounds like a nightmare. I had a dream. I was back in high school, and Chelsea Handler was my biology teacher.
Somebody took the time to type that out.
That's right.
Some device.
With their thumbs.
Were they both in high school?
They used their thumbs.
So many parts to that.
Did they both
that
go to high school?
Did they both go to high school?
I think they both went to high school. Snooki and Clay both went to high school.
I Snooki would know who she is.
Or care.
No.
Yeah. So I'm going with Handler. She's pretty popular.
Yeah, but I am going to go with Chloe.
I'm going
as well.
Chloe.
Right. I'm going to go with Snooki, you guys. I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm going Chloe.
I'm going Snooki.
Right. If one thing leads to another,
Snooki.
All right, Bean, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Lisa, tied for the lead.
Wow.
Strong. All right, here we go.
Kevin Brecken, pulling up the rear.
All right.
Nice work.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
That's just mean.
What?
This could apply to either of them,
this
actually.
This is pretty deep. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're quoting someone else.
To be deep.
Who's the philosopher in this group?
Snooki.
I think
wow.
I agree.
Whoa.
Why did you say that?
Snooki.
She's deep when she went after Tan Mom. You know, I mean, anybody who can go after Tan Mom has got some depth.
Why do you know any of that?
Yeah, that's true.
Don't ask, Brecken.
Jeez.
Can you read it one more time?
Can you repeat the question?
Pigs get fat. Hogs get slaughtered.
All right, I'm going to go Snooki as
well. Someone
was
being insulted about their weight.
I would like country of origin, please, Ralph.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm going to go with Chloe.
And Lisa, what did you say?
Snooki.
She said Snooki.
I'm sticking with MPG and go with Snooki as well.
I'm going to go with MPG too and go with Snooki.
Wow.
Snooki.
Don't go.
Chloe. Only Kevin picked Chloe, and he was in fact
damn
correct.
It. All right, there's a four-way tie for first place, and then there's Brecken.
Well, we only have time, I think, for one more.
This is the last one?
Yeah, right. I'm afraid so.
All right, here we go. Animal Planet documentary about mermaids. Very interesting.
Chloe.
Who did the penguin one again?
Penguins was Snooki.
That was Snooki. Snooki.
Animal Planet documentary about mermaids. Very interesting.
This one is Chloe. I know. This one's definitely Chloe.
With a K.
I'm going with Chloe as well.
I'm doing Snooki.
I'm going to also say Chloe.
I'm going Snooki.
All right.
Chloe.
Do
we have a final tally?
We have a tie.
Kevin with 3, Bean with 3, Lisa with 2, Brecken with 2, Mark Paul Gosselaar with 2.
So Kevin and Bean win?
We win.
Wow.
Man.
We get the prize.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
And the prize is... really nothing. It's not really
you don't have to read any more of their tweets. That's what you're winning.
Thank you. That's a good prize.
Guys, thanks for coming in. We had a great time.
Thank you for having us.
Franklin and Bash, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, TNT.
Six nights from now.
Well, you get a chance to look at your calendar and plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mark it
in
your calendar.
Get a babysitter.
Thanks for coming.
Once again, we'll welcome the band The Briggs live in studio doing This Is L.A. for us on the World Famous Kara. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Congratulations to our friend Hector. Kevin and Bean listener earlier today has been trying during the entirety of the playoffs to win something. Today, he won tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final from the Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
Yeah.
Very excited.
I wasn't happy with it. I don't like. I'm not sure I trust that guy. He's breaking into our phone lines or something.
Mm-hmm. Ralph is here now with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Sad news today if you like... I am, or a sci-fi fan. Ray Bradbury has passed away, science fiction legend. Really one of the creators of the genre of science fiction. Just a tremendous body of work. Fahrenheit 451, of course, a classic book. The Martian Chronicles, Something Wicked This Way Comes. Sort of an icon when it comes to science fiction. He had his own television series, The Ray Bradbury Theater. He won an Emmy for that as well. He also wrote other screenplays and other projects. He wrote Moby Dick, for example, the classic film adaptation that John Huston directed. Was nominated for an Academy Award for that. Just a huge body of work and a great life. 91 years old, he passed away this week. So sad news, but
yeah,
a life well lived, as they say.
I thought this was fascinating, Ralph. I saw this morning that he rented a typewriter at the library at UCLA to write Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
Wrote it in 10 days. Went down there and paid his 20 cents an hour to rent a typewriter and wrote one of the most iconic books of all time, sitting there in the library.
In his science fiction writings, he predicted someday there would be a machine that you would go up to and punch in a code and you could get cash out of it.
Really?
Instead of going to a bank and having to deal with a human teller, there would be a machine that would provide you cash.
Is it possible that's where they got the idea from?
Who knows? Chicken and egg, right? Yeah. He also said, predicted in another story, he talked about this futuristic world where people were so starved for entertainment, they watched police car chases on television.
Wow.
They would cover car chases someday.
Did he say anything about the end of the world this December?
He said, once the Kings win the cup, the world will end, he said. So take that for what it's worth. The end of the world for some people, I know. Today, Morrissey announced he's retiring from music. Oh, it's a lot of sad people right now.
Yes.
Well, they were sad. They were sad to begin with, yeah. So they can't really... After 30 years in the music business, Morrissey, former Smiths frontman, revealed plans to retire at the age of 55 in 2014. He will be retiring.
Wow, he's giving us plenty of notice.
Yeah. He said he doesn't think he can go on as a modern-day Andy Williams, as he says, about being an aging pop vocalist. But then he added, we will all probably be blown up by the Syrian government soon anyway, so it hardly matters in the great scheme of things. Always the optimist, Morrissey.
Eternal optimist.
Closed out that way.
It is weird in his statement, Ralph, that he's got to be what, in his 40s?
He is 53 years old.
All right, he's 53 years old. It seems a little young to already be complaining about my body is breaking down and I don't think I can keep up this pace as a rock star.
He does seem to be complaining about aging and the fact that his body is not what it once was.
Yeah, Mick Jagger's like 70, and he's out there doing more in his song than Morrissey has done on stage in a year.
Yeah, I don't really notice Morrissey bouncing around the stage so much. Doing a lot of stage diving and things. I don't know if he needs to worry about
it. It's the inside, man. It's the heart.
Maybe that's what it is.
The heart is heavy. Right.
Too much pain. Carries too much pain.
Right.
And Axl Rose, while we're talking about people who should be retiring. Axl Rose is upset because he was robbed of $200,000 worth of necklaces in Paris this week. And there were only three necklaces.
Wow!
$200,000 worth of necklaces, just three of them, gold and diamond necklaces stolen after he performed in Paris on Tuesday. It's unclear how they were taken, but police say there was a private gathering following the concert. And he thinks that it could have been an inside job. Somebody swiped them then. French police are opening an investigation and a bottle of wine, as they are wanting. today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger, 65 years old today. Colin Quinn, the comedian, is 53. Jay Bentley, bassist for Bad Religion, 48 years old. Uncle Cracker celebrates his 38th birthday. And Paul Giamatti from Sideways fame and many, many other feature films. He's so good. 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I kind of have to give Kevin a lot of credit for paying attention to the show at all today, because all he's thinking about is what time does the puck drop?
Yep.
5 o'clock this afternoon, Staples Center, game four of the Stanley Cup Final. It's going to be your Los Angeles Kings versus some team from New Jersey that can't seem to win even one during the final.
Oh, I hope that's true.
And part of the excitement of this season, there has been a soundtrack for, with a song that we've been playing a lot here on K-Rock recently called This Is L.A. That band is called The Briggs, and we welcome them to the show. In studio with us right now, Jason and Joey LaRocca from the band. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having us.
Sure. Oh, we're so excited. We have so many questions. First of all, tell us about you guys. You guys are, in fact, brothers. How long have you guys been playing together in a band?
Ever since we were young teenagers, I suppose, we did a lot of different bands together as kids, and we've been...
So, like, 3 years?
Yeah, so, like... Yeah. the Briggs has been a band for about 10 years, and, we've been doing it together for the whole time.
Nice.
And we're Los Angeles natives, so we always kind of grew up in this whole scene of music and all that.
And you have developed quite a following out there on the road. I mean, you guys are known as a great live band. You open for bands like Bad Religion, Flogging Molly, the whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We've done all sorts of tours with wonderful bands. Yeah, Dropkick Murphys, Flogging Molly, all those.
Where did This Is L.A. come from? I mean, why did you write it? Just,
you know,
an homage
I thought,
to the home?
Yeah, you know, I thought that I was thinking about it, and I was saying, you know, there's not really any, like, anthems for Los Angeles. I mean, there really isn't, aside from Randy Newman's.
You know, Los Angeles is burning, but that's not maybe what you want to think about.
And that's and they play that at all these sports games. I wasn't really planning on making it a sports, you know, tie-in or anything. It just kind of ended up happening that way. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, because
it's so perfect for being played at, you know, at soccer games and at hockey games. But that wasn't your intention.
It wasn't the original intention. No, it didn't. It definitely kind of just grew into that. And then once it started. They throw it in commercials and stuff like that. It totally was like, oh yeah, this totally fits. It's like aggressive and angry, and every time they, you know, they show the fighting. Yeah, they show the fights and like the checks, and when they got the song playing, it's like, yeah.
How did you guys find out that they wanted to start using that?
It started with Fox Sports West. The channel was using it for, they wanted to use it for a few commercials and things. And then somehow the Kings actually got wind of them using it for the Kings commercials, and they started using it in the stadium for when they would win, or when they'd win, or when they'd make a goal and stuff like that.
And how did it get started where you would play live at the arena?
2 years ago was the first time we did it when they went to the playoffs in the first round with
it was
the
a
Canucks.
Much shorter playoffs it 2 years ago.
Yeah. we played three games. Although we were looking at it, and we actually would have only played four games. Well, up until the other night, if we had played along with this whole time, anyways, because they barely played any home games because it's only gone to game five at the longest. So. But anyways, it started 2 years ago. We did it the last 2 years, and we've just been very fortunate to be involved with doing it there and playing in front of 20,000 screaming fans and all the excitement of the ice.
And I understand that, in fact, you guys are hockey fans too, right? Now, in addition to writing the song about L.A., you actually love the Kings, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, Chris, our drummer, actually played hockey was it high school, Chris? No. Junior high. Yeah, so he's a mega.
He's either pointing to his penis or saying that he was shorter.
Yeah, I'm sure which
maybe
one.
Maybe both.
He's excited.
Let's talk about today. We were joking with you guys, and if you're just joining in, by the way, we're talking about the band The Briggs. We have Jason and Joey in studio, the other guys in the other room, and they're going to be playing here in a couple of minutes. But we were joking that you're like the mariachi band on Cinco de Mayo, where you're in demand. They want you everywhere. Here you are in K-Rock this morning. You're playing this afternoon, around 4 o'clock or so, pregame at the ESPN Zone at LA Live. Before the game.
Totally.
And then you're doing another show at Down and Out in downtown LA. That is at 501 South Spring Street. And is that going to be a full concert tonight after the game?
It's going to be what people want to hear, really, which is probably going to be This Is LA. So we're slotted for a set, but we'll see if we can get any other songs in without getting...
As soon as you start another song, everybody's like, boom! Yeah. Another one!
What is this stuff?
That would suck.
Look, when you're a musician, you want people to hear your songs. You want people to be touched by your songs. But what a fluke thing, and what a dream it must be for you guys to have something like this happen. Because, look, I didn't know about the Briggs. I'm being frank here. And now... I love this song so much it makes me want to go pick up the Come All You Mad Men and hear some of the other stuff that you guys have done. And, you know, you'll probably gain a whole bunch of new fans out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a whole new demographic of people that we've never reached out to because we're usually on punk tours and things like that. So, when we did the games and things like that, we had families coming up to us and we're signing posters for, like, little kids and stuff. And that was... Definitely a totally
a
new
different thing.
A little different, but but it's cool. It's great. It's
but the little kids had mohawks, so
you know. Yeah.
Still working
at that. But you're the good kind of punk band. You're not the F the man and burn this city down, right? That's not your kind of punk.
No, not really. Yeah.
Not yet.
You're more like
it's more like F the devils is pretty much
that's
our motto.
What I'm talking about.
There you go. You're getting there somewhere. You go. All right. Well, we are very, very excited. By the way, the website for The Briggs is thebriggs.com. You can follow them on Twitter at The Briggs. The song is called This Is LA. It's about our most requested song here on K-Rock these days. And they're going to be, as I mentioned, all over the place tonight and in our studio performing the song live when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Go, Kings, go. Go, Kings, go. I can't hear you!
Will Ferrell?
I'm losing my mind!
All right, Will.
You need to lose your minds!
Will?
Let's go!
Will. We're doing it. All right.
Ah!
All right!
Okay, it's fine. It's going to be fine. 5 o'clock this afternoon, Staples Center, Kings versus Devils, game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. And, of course, right before that at LA Live at the ESPN Zone, you can see our guests, the Briggs, who are in studio with us now. They're going to be performing live before the game. Kevin, what are you going to do if the Kings win the Cup tonight?
I swear to God.
What are you actually going to do?
You've asked me this before. I swear to God, I don't know.
But you just won't have anything to wish for anymore.
I just won't. I don't know. I'm going to get a TV. I know that.
I really in the riots. You're going to get yourself a TV. Right? Yeah. Well, the album is called Come All You Madmen. It's available everywhere from the Briggs. The song is This Is L.A. It has become an anthem for the Los Angeles Kings, and we love this song so much, and we're so happy to have these guys in our studio. You guys ready to take it away?
Yes, we are.
Let's do it.
This is L.A., my city I hold, Los Angeles. We never walk alone, forever true. We'll stay in tribute to our city, no matter where we go. This is our home on the Sunset Strand. The devil's hard at work. If you wanna play, you gotta pay, you know. To keep the cops from going under. This maze, all the way from the 10 to the 5 to the 134. These streets are nothing but a parking lot, but I don't care, cause I'm not going anywhere. This is LA, my city, our home, Los Angeles. We never walk alone, forever true. We'll stay in tribute to our city, no matter where. On the West Coast shore, it's been far too long. So what if I got no money in my pockets? I'll always stand up strong, cause I'm in the city where I belong. This is L.A., my city, my home, Los Angeles. We never walk alone, forever true. We'll stay in tribute to our city.
Great, you guys.
Go, Kings, go.
All right, listen, Will.
Go, Kings, go.
Got it. Understood. Thank you.
Well,
we're right here.
I'm losing my mind.
Okay.
But you need to lose your minds. Let's go.
Right now? Do we need to lose our minds right now?
Ah!
All right. Okay. All right.
I don't think I've ever heard a song that mentions the 10, the 5, and the 134 in the lyrics, but that was outstanding, you guys. Thank you so much. The band is called The Briggs. Again, if you're going down to the game to either watch it, where are they showing up, Beer Mug? You're watching it where?
Club LA Live.
Nokia or something? LA Live, yeah. These guys are going to be performing live right out in front of there in the 4 o'clock hour, and then tonight you can see them afterward, and they're going to be at 501 South Spring Street at Down and Out in downtown LA. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys. We really enjoyed it.
Go, Kings, go.
All right.
Go, Kings, go!
You just said goodbye.
I can't hear you! I'm losing my mind! You need to lose your minds! Let's go! Ah!
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Whatever with show business. Sometimes there's more important things in the world.
What's more important?
Like the fact that today we can all rejoice because Gadget, the laboratory beagle, has been found.
Yay!
I don't...
The best news ever.
Best news ever.
I don't know what that is.
Gadget.
Yes.
The laboratory beagle.
I don't...
Rescued from Spain with a bunch of other beagles.
I didn't follow this beagle story.
There was a lab in Spain that was testing on beagles.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they were liberated from the lab.
Legally.
And Gadget was adopted by a family here in Southern California, and Gadget went missing. And Gadget was a very shaky dog because he had been abused, so he was a scaredy cat.
Right.
And they were afraid they'd never be able to find Gadget. So it's been on the local news. Everybody's been talking about Gadget this, Gadget that. Have you found Gadget? Anybody seen Gadget? Well, today,
a big reward.
Today it's official. Yeah, they had collected reward money from all over around the world to save Gadget. And today they found Gadget.
Where was Gadget?
Where was Gadget?
Gadget was found in somebody's front lawn near Laurel Canyon and Chandler in the valley there. And they found Gadget, and he's reunited with his family, and he's resting comfortably. So congratulations
and
to
the person
Gadget
found
and the
him
Kelly family.
Wouldn't take the reward.
Nope. So look, here's your dog. I got to get to work. I have to get to work. Just take your dog, would you please?
Pretty much.
Let me give you some money.
No, I'm late for work.
I need to go earn money.
Was there no one in the continent of Europe that could have taken this dog in? Did he really have to move to America?
Listen, don't come down on Gadget.
No,
or the
I'm just saying,
how
weird is that? You have to adopt a dog from another country.
Dave and I were desperate to talk about Gadget on the air, and Bean said, no, we couldn't.
Well, that's the right decision.
No, it's not.
From Bean for once.
We need help. A lot of people were worried.
A lot of people were worried, and we needed help to find Gadget. And no one cared.
Right.
I'm a lover. I love animals. Not apparently enough to save one. But despite Bean's best efforts, Gadget lives.
You want to open up the floodgates to every lost dog that people
this
want
is
to
an interesting
announce on the
backstory.
Radio. Right?
Rescued from a laboratory in Spain?
But this dog is no more loved or missed by his owners than anybody else who emails us and says, can
special
you help me find my dog?
Gadget
it's a terrible
was special
thing when you lose your dog.
We had a porn star on once who lost her dog. He had no problem with that.
That's true. That happened.
I'm Bean.
I did not see the porn star angle in this story, Ralph. Did I miss it? All you had is Spanish laboratory. That left this reviewer cold.
Well, despite the fact that Bean wishes Gadget the Beagle was dead, he lives and he's resting comfortably.
I'm very happy with the outcome of the story. They managed to find the dog without us.
Liar. Liar.
Now that's a dog.
It was just a matter of time.
Before
I saw this coming with the success of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers announces Justice League, the movie.
Sure, why not?
Now, who's in Justice League?
All the good ones.
Sorry to Batman and those
Superman, things. Batman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter.
Leave out Aquaman, you got a pretty good list.
The list goes on and on and on. They had been trying to make this movie for a long time. Back in 2007, in fact, it was actually greenlit. They were in pre-production on it. Armie Hammer was going to play Batman, who's now playing, of course, the Lone Ranger. He was going to be the new Batman. Adam Brody from the OC was going to be the Flash. Megan Gale had been cast as Wonder Woman. They were ready to shoot. They were ready to go. And the whole thing fell apart. And everyone said it'll never happen. But now with the success of Marvel's The Avengers, breaking box office records, I guess Warner Brothers says, time to revisit that idea of getting all our biggest superheroes in one movie together.
Would people buy a different Batman at this point after the Christian Bale Batman?
Of course. Genius. This is the time to do it because Christian Bale and Chris Nolan have...
They're done.
They've run their gamut. This is it. They're only going to do three movies. So this is... Their franchise is over. So rather than reboot a new Batman franchise, introduce him in the Justice League movie.
Interesting.
This is a great opportunity for all these heroes to get a second chance. You get Superman, which has been sort of languishing. They're rebooting him with Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. He's going to play the new Man of Steel. So you put him in this Superman movie, right? He's like your Iron Man kind of guy who's got the lead character. You finally bring Wonder Woman to the big screen.
Sure.
You recast Green Lantern from that Ryan Reynolds debacle. You bring in all the big guns, and then you unleash the Avengers.
And if that's a hit, then you've got nothing but spinoffs if you want.
Then you take your characters and you separate them out and you've got a whole world of movies. It's genius! So apparently they are currently writing the screenplay and they're gonna get it going. So.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cares.
Good news for superhero fans. I hope Gadget can be in the movie. It'd be great if Gadget was like their mascot, their pet dog, Gadget the Wonder Dog.
I don't know that we need that.
Oh, I love me some Gadget. He's the best. He's the best. Morrissey announced he's retiring in 2014. Does that mean we have two years of farewell?
Yes, farewell tour again and again and again.
He said that the fact he's retiring is due largely to the fact that he's aging.
Really?
This is my 30th year in the music industry. I've aged a lot recently, which is a bit distressing for me, as it must be for everyone. The body changes shape, and there's nothing you can do about it.
He's 53.
Well, he's so active on stage, though. You know, he does those cartwheels and do all that bouncing around he does.
I don't think he does any of that. I think he leans down to accept a rose once in a while from a fan in the front row.
2014 is going to call it quits. But then he added, we will all probably be blown up by the Syrian government soon anyway, so it hardly matters in the great scheme of things.
I wondered if he was going to figure out a way to be sadder than he already was.
Always the upside. That's what Marcy's known for. Always finds the upside. Sci-fi legend Ray Bradbury has passed away. One of the greats. Wrote such classic books as Fahrenheit 451, The Martian Chronicles, Something Wicked This Way Comes, The Halloween Tree. A great, great science fiction author. One of the creators of the genre, really. Passed away at the age of 91 years old.
Did you know he was still alive, Ralph? Be honest.
I did know.
Okay.
Because I know every year they give away the Ray Bradbury Award for excellence in science fiction writing, and I know he's usually in attendance. Has been for many years, so.
Tell me.
Sure. Kevin, you were up for that once, weren't you?
Yeah.
For your book, Reed, Not Good Robot.
By the way, in case the show ends suddenly and I don't get a chance to mention this, the listeners, Kevin, are insisting that you skate the cup tonight if it happens. They insist that you jump onto the ice and that you skate with the cup.
I would get punched right to the ice by Dustin Brown or any of those
guys.
Maybe
that's why they're over the glass. You should go over the glass and try to get with the team.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
Didn't you go rogue halftime at a Super Bowl once and ended up on the TV with Michael Jackson or something?
I was part of the Michael Jackson halftime show.
Well, get on it. Get on the ice,
I don't
son.
See that happening.
Why
Wouldn't
not?
Wouldn't it be the greatest moment in television history, Ralph, if you were watching tonight and Kevin was out there skating the cup with the guys?
That'd be the
best. He's the only one of all the Kings fans who was brave enough to go out and say that they were not only going to win the cup, they were going to sweep to win the cup. He deserves his moment.
How dare you?
Come on, Kev.
I'm being set up.
Do it for us.
No, it's not mine. It's theirs.
So funny. Once when the Flyers won the Stanley Cup back in the 70s, the first time, they were on the ice with the cup, and the Flyers fans just swarmed the ice, just poured over the boards,
really?
Went onto the
all
ice.
All of them.
And they were all like cheering and celebrating. It was just a huge crowd of people. And one guy was trying to reach the cup. It was being carried by Bernie Perron and Barbie Clark, our captain at the time. And Dave Schultz, who was a legendary badass, known as the Hammer in the NHL, he decked this guy. Just dropped him with one punch, just took him out, and then became the stuff of legend in Philadelphia. So I'd love to see that happen to you, Kevin.
I'd love
be
for
great.
That not to happen.
It'd be awesome. Someone just
be so awesome.
Laid
you're
you out
a,
on the
you're
ice.
Not even a fan this if you're is, not even going to bother jumping on the ice tonight.
This is their childhood dream. I'm going to run out there and just get demolished. No thank you, sir.
Come on.
All right, maybe.
Amanda Bynes is looking for some help. She claims she was unfairly charged with DUI on April 6th when she was arrested for sideswiping, allegedly, a police car under the influence. She was officially charged on Tuesday, so upset that she tweeted for some help directly to the president.
What?
She
well,
tweeted,
that's his area.
Hey, at Barack Obama, I don't drink. Please fire the cop who arrested me. I also don't hit and run. The end. Well, that should do it.
Did she write?
She was tweeting drunk. Yes. Oh. So she wrote the end, actually, at the end of the tweet.
She made a very convincing case. I think the president should be seriously considering that.
I think so, too. And Lindsay Lohan! In the news, you probably saw the photos yesterday. She was on the set of her new movie, Liz and Dick, about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. She was playing a scene where she was arguing with the actor who plays Richard Burton on a yacht. Took place on a yacht, this scene, and she was wearing one of these retro 60s style sundresses that was low cut. And next thing you know, while they're tossing on the deck of the ship, out came her own buoys and was caught by paparazzi. You can see the photos online if you like, but
that's what America's all about.
It is.
Giant size cans.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Stacey Keenan, the little girl who played the daughter on My Two Dads, and she was also on Step by Step. 37 years old today. Singer Uncle Cracker turns 38. What was that hit he had with that remake? Was it
Drift Away, wasn't
it? Drift Away, yeah. That was a good one.
Hmm.
Doesn't ring a bell, but go ahead.
Give me the B-Boys and free my soul. I want to lost in your rock and roll and drift.
So they had
away.
A hit with that, too?
It's a he. Uncle Cracker he had a hit with. I think he did it with Dobie Gray, too. I think he had a duet with him on
I think
that.
You're right, yeah.
Good stuff.
The late Dobie Gray.
Paul Giamatti from Sideways and many other films, including the upcoming Rock of Ages. He is 45 years old. Jay Bentley. Jason Bentley's a very different cat. Jay Bentley of Bad Religion. He's a bass player for that band. He is 48 years old. Colin Quinn turns 53. And actor Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger in all those Nightmare on Elm Street movies. He is 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I think we're going to have to start tomorrow morning's show early.
What?
Around 4-ish. We have Jake Johnson.
Oh.
Who's coming in the studio. He, of course, one of the stars of The New Girl. And he's got a new movie called Safety Not Guaranteed.
I love The New Girl.
Me too.
No.
We have Dr. Drew tomorrow. We have comedian Kathy Griffin in studio.
Wow. A new talk show coming up, Kathy.
Talking about Kathy.
Yeah. Exclamation point.
It's Kathy. Colin Hanks talking about the Kings. We'll do a recap as Colin Hanks is not able to be there tonight, which is very funny to me.
You want to rub that in. That's the only
Can
reason
you
want to have him
imagine
on.
If they win tonight and Colin Hanks, who's had season tickets probably since the 80s.
He said 87, I think.
He's not there for that moment.
Yeah, that's
What's
awesome.
He doing in New York that's more important than being here for this?
Don't know. But
probably some showbiz-related
Seems
tomfoolery.
Like he's a big star. He could have gotten out of it.
I'm going to tweet him so many pictures.
Oh, poor bastard.
Of you skating the cup.
Yeah, getting taken down. Kat Beely will be on the program tomorrow.
Oh, I love her so much.
So You Think You Could Dance and, of course, The Choice.
The Choice.
Funny man Brad Williams will be on the program tomorrow talking about Snow White and the Tall Huntsman. And we have Michael Fassbender.
What? He's a big movie star. He doesn't do our show.
He's a big movie star. Did he get nominated for an Oscar for his Shame movie, Ralph?
I don't know, but he doesn't need an Oscar. He's got another award.
Yes, he does. He does. He's blessed.
Dangles.
He's
got a dangling award. That's all he cares about.
Prometheus.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.